right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here. Good to have you all with us. Whether you're joining us live on DLive.tv/RedIceTV or perhaps through the website RedIce.tv/live. We're also going out on Twitter, Twitter.com/RedIceTV and VK as well, of course. Good to have you all here. Hope you're doing well. Shout out, of course, if you're joining us later on BitChute, Library, or on the website RedIceMembers.com. We have another great guest for you guys lined up today. A favorite of ours, Jim Goad, is back on the show. We're going to talk about some of the, I mean, it's just, we've tried to encapsulate this the last few shows here, the insanity of everything going on. People have largely, I would assume, forgotten about coronavirus. We're not even going to have time to get into that today, but with the, from the statue removals to the BLM riots to the shooting of cops to the war on cops to the potential strike of cops coming up. And then, of course, we have the situation even in Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone up there in Seattle. Maybe if we have time, we will get to some of that. Jim Goad, good to have you back, sir. How's it going?
Hey, you crazy Swede. This is the second Swedish show I've done today. I was on Frody's show talking about movies about 3 hours ago.
Now, Frode is technically Faroese, right? Is that what you call Faroes Island? Faroe Island, right?
That's where he says he's stuck. He went out there to visit relatives.
He's from there originally, but he grew up in Sweden. So yeah, he's our, naturally our brother. So no worries. Well, that's good. You talked about the which movie was it you talked about?
1970. It was just called Joe.
Joe.
And it starred Peter Boyle. Do you know who that was? He was on Everybody Loves Raymond as the old crusty dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was also in Young Frankenstein as Frankenstein.
Nice.
Okay. This predated All in the Family with Archie Bunker, but it was by a Norman Wexler wrote the screenplay. And Joe doesn't come into the movie until about 20, 30 minutes in. The first 20, 30 minutes, it's Susan Sarandon. It's her first movie. She's topless within the first minute, if you like that. But she's got this drug dealer boyfriend, and they're involved in a dysfunctional relationship. He gets her strung out on speed. She winds up going to the hospital. And so her dad's this rich guy from Manhattan. He goes looking for her because she goes missing, and he goes to her apartment, and he finds all these drugs. Her drug dealer boyfriend walks in. He confronts him about the drug dealer boyfriend is a complete jerk-off asshole to him. Says, oh, yeah, your daughter's out balling some black guy. The father gets this hippie, beats his head into the wall, beats him to death. Then you see Joe, working class Joe, with his pork pie hat in a bar. First, the second word out of his mouth in the movie is a word you're not allowed to say on YouTube. Let's just say jogger. He goes, the nice. Joggers get all the breaks these days. Blah, blah, blah. Joe keeps blabbing on, and this guy who just murdered a hippie walks in, and he's like, yeah, they should kill one of these hippies, Joe says. And the guy's like, I just killed one.
And, sounds exciting.
And Joe's like, really? And he says, no, I'm just kidding. But like then Joe sees in the paper a day or two later that a hippie got killed, like beaten to death. And he had the guy's phone number. He calls him, and they form an alliance. And Susan Sarandon, she finds out that her father killed her boyfriend. She's like, what are you going to kill me too? She disappears. So Joe and the rich white guy form a pact to go into Greenwich Village, infiltrate the hippie culture and find his daughter. They go down to Greenwich Village. They have a big sack of drugs that the father stole from the junkie that he killed. And they smoke some weed and have Joe's portrayed as just this idiot working class guy, what Joe calls an orgy. They have an orgy with some of the hippie chicks. But then the other hippies steal their drugs and disappear. So Joe beats it out of one of the hippie girls he just banged. Like, where did they go? They go upstate with guns. They go into this house, kill every last hippie in there. And the last scene you see, the father's coming down with a gun. And Joe's like, be a man, kill somebody. He shoots this girl, and he doesn't realize until after he shot her, he just killed his daughter. My parents went to see that movie. I was like 9. And they came back. I remember they were rattled. They're like, whoa, that was an intense movie. But the thing I found interesting about that movie, it's like Easy Rider was a year before and the rednecks were the villains in that. But like they weren't the main characters. This was the first movie, I think, where an evil white male was the main character, Joe.
Interesting.
And Archie Bunker was based on him. But there's been this. But the most fascinating thing, I know we're not here to talk about that movie. Norman Wexler wrote the screenplay. And it's obviously that, you know, these reactionaries are violent was his theme. And there's actually a scene where Peter Boyle sees this poster of Richard Nixon And I remember these posters that said, would you buy a used car from this man? He's like, this is ridiculous. Like, they're disrespecting the president. Norman Wexler, in real life, the screenwriter, he got arrested for threatening to kill Richard Nixon. It's nice. Funny, I write so much about projection. It's like this was some Jewish New York screenwriter's paranoid fantasy about what some Irish Catholic working class guy was going to do.
Right.
So much is about projection, but that's what we talked about.
Interesting. Okay, well, people can go check that out, of course. Guide to Culture, the full breakdown. Norman Wexler. I recognize that. I must have come across some of his other stuff.
And John Avildsen directed the first Rocky. Norman Wexler also co-wrote Serpico, the corrupt cop story with Al Pacino.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, interesting, exciting, good stuff. Of course, it's kind of based on the theme. We're going to talk about some of the just rampant anti-whiteness as well that we've seen kind of bloom here in the last couple of weeks or so. Now, you're, of course, in Atlanta. Tell us about the situation there and what's happened, of course, not only in the wake of Rayshard and stuff. It was heated already after George Floyd.
Rayshard. Technically, I'm what they call in the Atlanta area, OTP, outside the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Perimeter. 285 is this square. It loops around the metro area. I'm about 10 miles outside of the metro area. But yeah, here's the thing. I lived through the L.A. riots. L.A. was 7% black at the time. Atlanta is like 50% black. And we can get into every last detail you want to about George Floyd. What I know about Rayshard is that he's 27. He had criminal convictions for child neglect. According to him, he had just gone to his daughter's birthday party and he came back. What happened was the cops responded to a call. There was a black guy asleep in a car in the drive-thru at Wendy's. People may, oh, a black man can't sleep in a car. Well, at a rest area, you can, but you're fucking blacking. So, and I've seen the full body cam. They talk to him. They have him, walk and touch his nose, and he's obviously intoxicated.
Yep.
And when they say turn around, go to put the cuffs on, he brawls. Strong guy. He got away from two cops trying to pin him down. Stole one of the cops' tasers. Got about, as he's running, he turns around and points the taser at the cop. I don't know enough about tasers if he was in striking distance. I don't know any of that. That's when the cop shot him. And the next night, that Wendy's in Atlanta burned down.
That's right.
And I heard rumors that white supremacists, because we know the white supremacists are behind all this rioting. They're in blackface most of the time.
Yep.
But they're all white supremacists.
They're skateboards and stuff.
And this was based on the esteemed journalist Tariq Nasheed, who had this little clip of a fat white chick leaning in the Wendy's and like shooting.
It was already burning at that point.
It was
you could
already
clearly
burning.
See it. Yeah, of course it was.
And she was a white supremacist because after she did it, she went okay.
That's right. I saw Ben Shapiro retweeting that to spread the conspiracy theory that this was a white conspiracy to burn down the Wendy's.
How stupid do they think people are? I mean, they're really overplaying the hand at this point.
Right.
The only thing I can see positive coming out of this is all this infighting about, racism. It's all about truth. It's like, no, they're fighting a race war. They're going after you because you're white. Yep. They say that. And they know how to spot you. It's your skin. So maybe this will realign a couple nimrods from the past couple years. Oh, let's not talk about race. They're making it all about race. Evidence of that? What's the evidence that in any of these fucking cases, besides the cop being white and the victim being black, what is the evidence that race had anything to do with it? There's none.
Right.
Is there anyone on tape ever saying, well, yeah, I killed him because he was black? Well, Dylan Roof. That's it. But that's not a police brutality case. In every one of these cases, the idiot he resisted. You know what I did when I was I got out of a Radio Shack and I was in my car and all of a sudden I looked up and I noticed a cop had a gun to my head? I put my hands up because I'm not a fucking moron and I don't have that much testosterone that I think I'm this invincible bull, but a bullet's not going to stop. Like, have they ever done, I know everyone's done like the disparities in commission of crimes and it's way off the charts. I'd like to see a study on white and black patterns of resisting arrest.
Right.
How stupid, even with Ahmaud Arbery here in Georgia, the guy, and this is If black people were as terrified as they claim to be, they wouldn't be acting this way. Look at the body. Even put your blinders on. Blur out their skin color. Look at the body language. Who's acting confident and belligerent and bullying, and who's acting submissive? Pretty clear.
Yeah.
Completely the opposite.
Yeah.
But in Ahmaud Arbery, the jogger who was proved not to be a jogger, he was running from this house that he walked into illegally. And there's a pickup truck with two chubby white guys from South Georgia. He runs around the pickup truck. If he was actually frightened for his life, there were some woods right to the right of the road. He could have just disappeared. No. He turned around the truck and charged at the guy who was holding a shotgun and tried to grab the shotgun from him. Who does this? I've never heard of a Japanese person.
They're afraid of their life, Jim. So they're trying to just grab the instruments of freedom from whether it's an officer or someone who's doing a – what was it calling it? I think they actually have that in Georgia, right? You can actually do a citizen's arrest, I believe, right? That's what they were involved in doing?
I don't know what they're saying. That's probably what the trial will decide,
right,
whether he was acting within Georgia law. I don't know. But if I can kill people just by claiming I was afraid of them, that's good to know.
I mean, it's just crazy, this stuff. And did you see the – I actually watched it yesterday, the attorney general in Georgia there. I had – let's watch part of the clip.
That can be actually the DA of Atlanta. The DA.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Howard Jr., the GA district attorney. Let's look at that a little bit and see, because this is just insanity, the way that they turned to piece this together. And he did nothing wrong. I didn't play the audio from it, but I played the video here in the background. And of course, as you said, you can see him grabbing the taser. They say, stop resisting. Don't grab the taser. He takes it. What if he managed to shoot one of the guys, right, with the taser? He would be decapacitated. He could have killed him at that point, essentially, right? But anyway, here's what the GI district. Jump in. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I know how, you know, falsehoods spread like wildfire across the internet. To my knowledge, the same DA who's charging the cop with felony murder, based on the premise that a taser is not a deadly weapon, recently charged someone else for using a taser as a deadly weapon.
There you go.
I'm thinking he wouldn't be called on.
I'm not surprised. Here we go.
So these are the charges that we have had filed today, signed by one of our Superior Court judges. These are the 11 charges against Officer Roth. The first charge is felony murder. This is the death that is as a result of a underlying felony, and in this case, the underlying felony is aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and the possible sentences for a felony murder conviction would be life without parole, or the death penalty.
Holy crap.
Now, he's also charged in the arrest warrant with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And this is a count charging him for the shooting of Mr. Brooks. And the possible sentence for aggravated assault is 1 to 20 years. The third aggravated assault account is for the shooting towards or in the direction of Mr. Melvin Evans. Mr. Evans was the person who was seated in the car. Did we have the picture of Mr.
What a circus. Can't they just show the video?
Great board charge.
I forget if it was part of this clip or not. I watched him when this was live streamed, and the guy said because of the taser hit above, Rayshard hit the, you know, fired the taser, it hit above the officer and over at the car, so it was no problem. It was fine.
And I believe we also got a photo of the shot that ended up in the vehicle. I think you got it.
Look at that racial attribution of the court.
Exactly. That's just it, right?
Is there a white guy in that entire?
Okay, well, the cop being charged with murder.
Against Ms. Officer Roth, it charges him with aggravated assault for firing the weapon in or in the direction of Danielle Killians, who was in the passenger side of the front seat of the car. Next slide. Count five is an aggravated assault charge And this was a charge for shooting towards or in the direction of Michael Perkins. Mr. Perkins was seated in the rear of this same vehicle at that time. There's a charge for criminal damage.
He makes it sound that he just fired with his gun like all over the place and stuff. Like they were running. There was the Wendy's drive-through line of cars, and they were chasing him down in that direction. He continues, but this is just insanity what these people are up to.
He looks like an otter that was burned in a zoo fire or something. I was trying to figure out what animal it's an otter.
Oh man, I don't know what to make of it. But this is, I don't know. Have you ever seen it like pick up to this scale where basically they're intentionally trying to make every single cop being terrified of essentially just, but they should just put their life at risk every time they go out. They should have no recourse in fighting back or I guess taking out people who are fighting back violently against them, right?
My suspicion that what this is all about, because you live long enough, you realize it's never about what they say it's about. I mean, bringing cheap labor over was never about racial tolerance.
Right. Yeah.
My suspicion was this is to discredit local police so they could get some kind of federal police.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Even an international kind of body. Some of them even called for the UN. Do you see that? The George Floyd people.
And the only other person I've ever heard articulate that is Al Sharpton, who says he wants a federal police force.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. What was it? You blood merchants, you diamond blood suckers, a guy who basically single-handedly started a race riot, Al Sharpton, the Crown Heights riots. That'll be my next feature for attacking great black race riots in American history. Mm-hmm. but he pretty much, all the things that would squash any white guy for life that Al Sharpton has done and gotten away with.
Yeah.
You know, if you're paranoid, you'd think there's like a double standard or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's pretty amazing. Now, you wrote a piece for Tacky's magazine. Do black feelings matter too much? Tell us a bit about this piece, a little bit.
This is the thing, like I said before, you look at body language. People are terrified. Like, what was it, Colin Flaherty, don't make the black kids angry?
Yep.
We're willing present company excluded. It seems like a lot of Americans are willing to have everything destroyed just so black people don't throw a tantrum. I've talked about this on, I have a new show called Beef Squad. I talked about it on Frody's show. I'd like to ask you this. You've hung around in unsavory, notorious circles, allegedly, right? Have you ever known, well, and you know, been accused of all kinds. Have you ever known a white person who committed a black violent crime against a black person?
Not only that, I don't think I know anybody. Well, proximity, and maybe someone else had done a violent act towards somebody, but never a non-white person, I believe. It was like another white person that had gotten in a scuffle with. But as far as I can remember, no, never.
Second question. Do you know any white people who have been violently victimized by blacks?
Yes.
Everybody I ask has the same answer.
Right.
I'm supposedly this wignat Nazi, bad optics, white supremacist. And I've never attacked a black person. I've been robbed at gunpoint by a black dude in Philly. I was sucker punched by a black dude when I was driving a cab. I know a girl who was raped by a black dude in 2018. I have a friend here in Atlanta whose two roommates were killed by black people in 2015. And we're supposed to just shut the fuck up? They talk about I can't breathe. How about I can't speak?
Yeah, I heard that in the little snippet for the show. It was really good. I like that. I was like, you know what? I'm just like, I want to put that on a shirt. But it's true. It's essentially, you know, Jim, it's like we make mouth noises, which they don't like, right? The establishment, whatever you want to call them, everybody out there. Never committed any violence, never advocated for violence, never talked about it in that kind of way. We're simply talking about the situation we find ourselves in. We are being shut down, banned, with banks kicks us off, financial institutions, we're deplatformed, can't own domains or can't have websites. You know, all this kind of shit is happening to us, right? Meanwhile, you have a group which is the Black Lives Matter, right? Who would, even if they're loose affiliations, whatever, imagine that there was an equivalent that was about white people, right, that had committed the type of violence and riots and burning and looting and stuff that we've seen now the last couple of two and a half weeks or whatever, however long this has been going on, and still being backed up by the transnational banks, the Goldman Sachs, the Black Rocks, like the biggest shadow banks in the world, Disney, the biggest companies in the world, Amazon, Google, are pouring millions of dollars into these anti-white racial, inequality educational programs and shit like that.
They're oppressed.
They're the oppressed ones, right.
So, I've mentioned earlier on Frody's thing, like since the riots started, I've written three features for Tacking. They've been really hard to write because I'm so disgusted at this point. And I also wonder, really, does it make, I've been writing since the early 90s. Has anyone gotten smarter? No, they only seem to get dumber. But to stay sane, I try not to get upset about this shit. I put my disgust in these straight articles that are factual. And on the show that I do now, I'm going to be comical. The theme of the last one was, who is the handsomest black victim of police brutality? Just make it as fucking ridiculous as they're making it. The new one, I'll spoil the two jokes that are coming up on the next Beef Squad right here. We're going to start off, it's going to be dark and you're going to hear some music, and it's going to be apparent it's from Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. And it's this slow, jazzy elevator shit that's on that album. And I'll just stop it and I'll go, George Floyd was responsible for an album that was on the Billboard Top 100 longer than any other album in history. And still he gets shot and he gets killed by racist police. This is what America is. And then the next gag on the next show will be, I'll get the slogan wrong. It'll be Black Life Matters. And so me and my co-hosts are going to try to figure out which black person we spare. It's like the only... And of course they're going to take it serious. It's obviously a joke. They can't, right. They're not going to take it seriously anyway, but it's like to stay sane. I like to think that it helps for people to laugh at this shit.
It does. Think it does. I mean, it's so over the top. It's so outrageous. And it's, from the projection to literally everything that's happening to us is something they claim that's happening to them, right? The institutional racism, the fact that we are the ones who are should legitimately be fearful of being beaten down by racial mobs and stuff. But what have we seen the last couple of weeks? I've never seen so many videos coming out, and I should do a compilation. There are some out there too, but just like indiscriminate violence of like 20, 30 people ganging up on a single white guy, right? I mean, this is horrific stuff. People are dead, right? And this is a terrorist organization. Imagine it was a white supremacist group or something like that, right? They were out and, protesting, they were doing their thing. But even if there were adjacent people that aligned themselves to that wasn't officially part of the movement that committed violence, the whole thing would have been, these people's lives would have been destroyed by now. They would have been gone. You know what I mean?
What's amazing to me is they'll always chide us for being behind the times and on the wrong side of history, but they're working from a script that's at least 70 years old, where blacks are being hunted down and can't speak and aren't represented. It's like, they're the ones who are out of touch. We're just talking about what's actually going on now without the 98% editing they do before they present a news story.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are actually, like, as far as understanding what's going on, they're on the wrong side of history. But
I agree.
This is why I was a couple minutes late, because I was busy doing this chart.
Yeah, no worries. Tell us about this one.
All right, because it's been established. They ignore it, but it's been established. And I think Tucker Carlson did something about this. Of the 9 unarmed blacks that were killed by cops last year, 8 of them resisted arrest. So that's actually 1 unarmed black who didn't resist arrest who got killed. I don't know any more details beyond that. But I couldn't find the FBI page for 2019 said not available, so I looked at 2018. 2,600 black on black murders. Of the 2,925 blacks murdered that year, 2,600 were killed by blacks. 88%. That's a little lower than usual. From I think the mid-70s to 2005 was like 94% black on black. So I wanted to see how that 2,600 compared to 9. I wanted to see what that looked like on a graph. So I made one chart 9 pixels and just made the next one 2,600 pixels. So here's what it looks like.
All right. Now you can't see that I'm continuing to scroll here all this time. It just looks like a bar, yeah, which is static. I'll have to pull up the whole thing here, but I'm still, there we go. There it is, right?
There we go.
There it is.
Police killings of unarmed blacks.
They don't
care. So this is not for black people. This is for stupid white people who've been brainwashed into think they're being brutalized. There it is.
it's almost more perfect doing it this way, because I've tried to articulate this and it's very hard. It becomes a mind fuck on the people that are aware of the situation, right? Those that are convinced of the narrative being pushed in the media, those are kind of hopelessly lost anyway. It doesn't matter how much facts you bring them. It doesn't matter how much you try to, you know, convince them otherwise and stuff like that. But to those who bother looking into these kinds of things, to them, this just becomes so absurd and so foreign, so alien in terms of why this is an issue, right? Or why this is being pushed, that it almost, it feels like you're not part of like reality anymore. Now I know that they live in the fantasy world, but like we're being gaslit into thinking that like we're just out of touch or something. You know what I mean?
Constant gaslighting. If you have any spine, you're evil. It's like, okay, then I'm evil. I don't believe in the objective existence of evil, so that's fine. But I think what's going on with some people is, and I've noticed, I've observed, because I know. I know somebody who was married for 40 years, hated the guy. Every minute he was alive, the minute he died, he was a saint. And it always puzzled me. Why? Well, it's kind of a bitter pill to swallow to admit you were with an idiot for 40 years. I think cognitive dissonance plays here, and it's humiliating to realize you were fooled.
I don't feel
humiliation when I realize I've been fooled. I'm pissed off.
Right.
These people are so humiliated, they don't want to even admit it. But, you know, as long as they say I'm on your side when they're getting beaten, I guess it's going to be okay. Did you see that footage of the guy who was filming with his iPhone, Black Lives Matter, going past his window?
Yeah, they threw in the raw.
And he starts screaming, I'm on your side.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, you can't make it up, right? I'm on your side. It's like, they don't give a shit. They hate you because you're white. I mean, I wish it was more complicated than that. I wish it was more, you know, but no, it's just your skin color is, I mean, I know that there's more than skin. I don't take that argumentation. I'm just saying from the point of view of like what the officials are telling us and stuff. To them, it's just down to your skin color, which is your uniform, and that's team you, you know. So
they've successfully peddled this myth that skin color is the only difference.
Right, exactly. Which is just retarded.
Skin color is very relevant in spotting them if you're actually looking for a group to kill, because that's something too in the Chaz or Chop or whatever it is now. It's this burly guy with a ponytail. He looks like he's an Indian. He's saying, all right, and they're standing on what looks like a baseball field. He's like, I want every white person here before you leave to give $10 to a person of color.
Yep.
And I see all your faces. I remember your faces. Like, I thought whiteness didn't exist. How do you know they're white? Oh, look at them.
And in other regards, if it's about you wanting to preserve your demographics, let's say, of your country, then, well, what is white anyway, right? How do you, you know, and it's like just because there is a potential gray zone that try to invalidate that the colors black and white exists, which is just retarded, but that's what they do.
They're going to go with that, be consistent, and don't try to punish white people because they don't exist. But what's ironic is they don't exist until you want to punish them. Then it's very easy to tell who's white.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, I'm getting upset. A little bit. This shit used to upset me so much more until I realized the morons who are peddling this nonsense don't get upset about it. Why should I take on, you know, their sickness?
It's nothing. So, to them, it's nothing personal. It's just business. That's what I think it is. This is just the agenda. You know what I mean?
many people have this. It's a drive I don't understand. They need to be seen as good. And what startles me is I really think most people would rather other people approve of them than be okay with themselves. They would rather betray their own beliefs in order to be liked.
Right.
I don't understand that at all, but it's like doubling down cognitive dissonance. It's like I said, it's hard to admit, fuck, I was an idiot.
Right.
I'm not an idiot, but if you realize you're an idiot, don't keep being an idiot because you're twice as idiotic. At least cop to it And it gets better after that.
But that intel, that means you must have something. You must have that desire to, basically, what I think it is, what it was like for me personally, is I wanted to know the truth, right? No matter where it led. If that doesn't concern you, you just want to, you know, win the argument or whatever it is, right? Then you're not going to have that as a driving force of questioning or re-examining things or saying, wait a minute, am I wrong here? Or let's look at the other stuff. It's like that doesn't even come into the picture. In other words, what I'm saying is it feels like largely an impossibility of actually educating other people that there are other facts out there which contradicts their opinions.
Whether this makes me autistic or sociopathic, my motto has always been true and false, not good and evil.
I agree.
I've recently got involved again, stupidly. There's some literary enemy of mine from a long time ago who wagged my criminal past in my face. And it turned out this guy, in a book that claimed to be nonfiction, bragged about getting excited when the girl his friend brought over was 15 instead of 16. And he talked about how tight her vagina was and everything else.
Ugh. All right.
And it's like, well, if you're going to bring up this is what you said, and you said it's nonfiction. And the people who are arguing, oh, you're trying to say he's a bad guy. It's like, I don't give a shit if he's a bad guy or not, but he's a liar. He said this in 22, the nonfiction, and then, 2017. Hey, you idiots, you don't get it was satire, even though I wrote it in my own name and said I did it and said, this is a work of nonfiction. It's like,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I don't argue with people hardly at all anymore online, because it seems like 99% of them is just a battle to prove who's the good person. I don't give a shit.
Right, right.
You can't prove who's good. Whether that's autistic, it's like, just tell me what's true or not. And what's true is this guy contradicted, and that's all I care about.
Right, yeah.
But it's like that. It's no, I'm the good one. That's what all this social media stuff is. Well, I'm really unhappy, so I'm going to find somebody to fucking blame it on.
Yeah, virtue signaling. And that's also it's a selfish sorry to interrupt you, but that's also a selfish drive. That's also weird about this. Like, yeah, sure, they have this, kind of grandiose view of themselves, but that's rooted in like, look at me, look at how good I am. You know what I mean? And it's like the endorphins are released, and even the more they hate themselves, they feel that high, you know, off of that and shit. It's totally selfishly driven.
I also think what's going on here, as a felon, you have a kind of a radar for snitches. And you know why felons hate snitches? It's not because they committed one crime. It's because they committed two crimes. They did a burglary with their partner and then did the crime of betraying a friend to get them in trouble and get off.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, where were we going? I think I might have lost my
track. Oh, it's fine. The virtue signaling, that look at me.
Good. Okay. So I wrote an article in 2010 or 2011. One of the first things I wrote for Tacky was called Diagnosing Passover Syndrome Among White Liberals. And we all know the story of Passover. Well, hey, Angel of Death, I've got the red bloody X over my door. Go kill the guy next door.
Mm.
And I always caution against mind reading. What it seems like these people are doing are saying, yeah, I know you're going to come and kill us all. Don't kill me. Kill the racist guy.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's been going on forever. One of the premises of my book, The Redneck Manifesto, was it was white elites and Jewish elites who bought the slaves and owned the slaves. And they found a way to blame poor whites for all that mess that they created, even though the poor whites were the original slaves.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So a lot of this is, I mean, everything I write about is about guilt and who, you know, people throwing guilt around like it's a bomb or a germ or a weapon or a hot potato. They don't want to touch it. They want to make somebody else guilty. But I said in the Redneck book too, well, maybe if you feel guilty, maybe you are. Because I've noticed the ones that are completely addled with white guilt are the wealthy whites. It's like, well, if you want to get for real, you're probably more statistically likely to have been a slave owner than some poor cracker who's smoking meth in a trailer in Alabama.
Right, yeah.
I mean, but I also think there is the blood bond. And I think people feel deeper guilt for hurting one of their own than they feel for hurting somebody who's not like them. And I mean, Michael A. Hoffman, I always recommend him to you. Like, he really gets into how the British elites treated the poor.
Yeah.
They were brutal and actually hated them. And I think, you know, it's guilt projection too. It's like, well, we'll take these little black pets and we'll make them our muscle. We'll make them our shock troops. Because we really know the poor whites are pissed off at us. So this is how we'll handle that.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think, yeah, if you feel guilty for whatever whites allegedly did to others, so there's Michael A. Hoffman.
Yeah. They were white and they were slaves. Really good book. We've had him on the show talking about it.
They were called slaves. In legal documents, they were called slaves.
Yeah.
And it can't be stressed enough. Every time everybody brings up the word, look at the root word of slave, Slav. Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, there are some clips I wanted to play. There's so much to get into here. And guys, I'll get to some of your chat, super chats over on DLive here in a bit, too. There's a couple of things I want to kind of enter into. And you talk about the liberal thing, which is kind of interesting that, you know, on one hand, the grievance groups that have kind of just in this unholy alliance against whites, essentially, right now, have kind of understood that, like, yeah, those who do not bend the knee, those who don't decide to go down and bow in front of, you know, the new God or whatever they're trying to sell here to us, they've kind of understood you're not going to change those people's mind. You know, that sure, that's the enemy and stuff like that, but they need someone to blame. So now we've seen this when those people become unreachable, you can't make them feel guilt. You can't. Then they go to the white people that are there and listening to them. In other words, the white liberal. And we've seen a outpouring of hatred, resentment, and attacks on white people. Let's check out some of these clips, for example.
It's funny how that works, because I think the people that are bending think it's going to be interpreted as kindness.
No, weakness.
This is another reason I'm anti-religion, because it gives people the idea that we're not animals. We're animals. And the people that see white people bending their knees are maybe even better at being animals. They don't see kindness. They see somebody who wants to be destroyed.
Right.
Willing is surrendering. You know, body language again. If I wanted to be kind to someone, hey, how you doing? What do you need help with? Yeah, I think I'm not going to fucking bend in front of them. I'd expect to get kicked in the teeth.
Right, right. Check out. So here's some of these clips. Let's play up some of them. Here's good old pal Van Jones on CNN here.
There's another reality here that you're starting to see. You thought maybe the world worked one way because police are nice to you, because these things don't happen to people that you know. But the whole time, there was a whole other America. And the reason that you see people now doing the things that they're doing. Now, we have no idea who set those fires. It could have been provocateurs. It could be anybody. But the reason you see people willing to risk their lives in the middle of a plague and a pandemic and to go out and literally risk their lives to protest is because people are now fed up. People are telling me they're tired of hashtags. They're tired of Van Jones saying we can have a bipartisan solution. They're tired of people like me. They're tired of people saying over and over again that, we're just basically one bill away or one election away from some progress. It's not the racist white person who's in the Ku Klux Klan that we have to worry about. It's the white liberal Hillary Clinton supporter walking her dog in Central Park who would tell you right now, people like that. Oh, I don't see race. Racism. Hey,
that's the problem.
I see us all as the same. I give to charities. But the minute she sees a black man who she does not respect or who she has a slight thought against, she weaponized race like she had been trained by the Aryan Nation. A Klans member could not have been better trained to pick up the police and pick up her phone and tell the police it's a black man, African-American man, come get him. So even the most liberal, well-intentioned white person has a virus in his or her brain.
That can, and then he says that can be activated at a moment's notice. Isn't it interesting now how they talk about us as a we have a mind virus? It's a disease.
I saw a clip today was from a couple years ago because I asked on Twitter, like, does anybody have any footage of rioters attacking peaceful protesters for not rioting hard enough? And it wasn't a physical attack, but this, you probably have seen this. It's a Hispanic looking girl and there's this skinny white guy with a mask on. She's like, you should have punched that Nazi. He's like, hey man, like, you know, I've got arrested twice.
Yeah, I've done all these things for you, right?
Yeah. And he's like, fuck off. She's like, yeah, of course you're racist. It's in your blood.
Yeah.
It's in your DNA.
Yeah.
And it's, again, that was one of my books. They're making it like Original Sin.
Yeah.
A virus in your fucking brain.
That can be activated.
Sorry about that. Let me pause that. There we go. Sorry about that. I was queued up the other clip. Go ahead, Jim.
Did Hitler even ever say anything to that degree?
Well, but we hear that all the time, right? They used to talk about, you know, Jews and things as that there was a disease or something. I've heard these people now, these blue check marks, these pundits out there, the media, the establishment, politicians even, they're like, they're using this vernacular now. This is how they're using to describe us as some kind of infestation. That's, you know, it's amazing.
I mean, I read Mein Kampf because I got accused of being a Nazi enough. I'm like, all right, I want to see what the owner's manual says. But my impression was he was in awe of Jews. He saw them as extremely cunning and intelligent. This is just saying these people are just defective and they're a disease. I don't know. I don't think Hitler ever went as far as Van Jones.
Well, that's it, right? Here, okay, here's some more. Let's check this out here.
I think the important thing for white parents to keep in the front of our mind is that if black children in this country are not allowed innocence and childhood, without fear of being killed by police or marginalized in some other way, then our children don't deserve innocence. If Tamir Rice can be shot dead in a public park playing with a toy gun, something white children do all over this country every day without the same fear of being shot, if Tamir Rice can be killed, then white children need to be told at least at the same age. If they can't be innocent, we don't get to be innocent. And
So essentially, you know, we're also taught, right, that this was about lifting out people out of the perceived bracket of injustice that they find themselves in due to, of course, issues outside of their control, etc. But you start, okay, well, let's lift them out. Let's help them out. No, it's about taking those that have the supposed advantage or advancement or the privilege or whatever and tearing those down right to the same level as everything else. Yeah.
Does Tim Weiss still live in that 97, 98% white neighborhood in Nashville?
Probably does. Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. Always the same, right?
Well, here I'm in Blackville, USA.
Exactly. Here's another one. Check this one out.
Well, if you think you're not racist, you could be right. But in this day and age, that's simply not good enough. Up next, why it's time to check our bias at the door and lean into the discomfort that is necessary for real change.
So cult-like.
Lean into the discomfort. It's time for you, Whitey, to get uncomfortable. You need to put yourself in a situation where you're like attacked and violently, brutally. It's amazing, isn't it?
I've lived long enough. I lived through the 70s. And there was the Symbionese Liberation Army, the Hare Krishnas. You know, the Moonies, cults everywhere, and, you know, communes. And I got a sense, like, even before it turned into 2020, and 2020 became the weirdest year of all time, that the
super
20s
are
going to be a lot like the 70s were. And this is cult speak.
Yes.
But instead of them being the Hare Krishnas over here and the 10 Moonies, this is the whole fucking country talking.
That's right. Yep. Sanctioned hatred.
It's an advantage to feel comfortable. And I think, you know what this reminded me of? When I was a Catholic and I was reading The Imitation of Christ by St. Thomas a Kempis. And it keeps talking about mortifying the flesh, like killing your flesh, killing any, like suffering just like Christ suffered. It's like, you got some sexual problems, man.
But it is a religion, though. I mean, that's a good point,
oh, yeah,
right? I think it's partially, maybe it's even the partial reality that they've walked away from some that makes them be attracted to one again. They need that a belief, a faith. And that includes, I think, believing in sin, I think, right?
That's why I called the book The New Church Ladies. And that's been my beef with leftism, is it became a fucking religion.
Yeah, right.
And if you're religious, you go on faith. You don't need facts anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he was resurrected from the dead. Picks or get the fuck out of here. That's how I look at it. Like, equality, prove it.
Yeah.
They can't. You just have to take it on faith or we'll beat you. It's like, nah. Like, if I haven't been shut up yet, not going to happen.
Check this out. Dan Cathy, CEO of Chick-fil-A. They were always accused of being, conservatives, I guess, at the worst or something. He recently said in a TV show here that white Christians need to repent for their racism while he cleaned the sneakers of rapper Lecrae, whatever his name is.
I have one of the sneakers.
Where'd he get those?
And this is like the Pope, like washing Muslims' feet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're right. This is not... the behavior. Did you ever read a book called The Lucifer Principle by Howard Bloom?
No, I actually, I usually remember this very vividly and clear, but I believe I had him on the show many, many years ago.
He was an interesting character because he was the editor of Circus Magazine, which was this really cheesy heavy metal rag that came out every month. But he's also like an evolutionary biologist, I believe.
Yep, yep.
And he made a point in the book that revolutions throughout history never happened when the king was at the height of his power and crushing people. They usually happened when the king started apologizing. And
yep.
This gets back to that body language again. Is Lacrawfish here? Is he saying, God, well, I love this man. He's so nice. Or saying, wow, I'm going to rape him later. I think we know. Horrifying.
Yep.
This is just, it's like, who do I hate? I've said this for a quarter century. I hate white people like that.
There's more
here. If you could hook me up, do I hate black people? It's like, no, I know they're different. And... if I was black and really wasn't ever going to take a calculus class or become a physicist, I'd ride this fucking wave because it's my only way to power. I understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
I don't understand why. I mean, the only thing I understand about why white people are doing this shit is because they think they're going to be spared. But that's not how power works. When you make concessions like, okay, give me more.
Mm.
That's always what happens. What do they think
exactly.
The end of
this is going to be? They're smelling really, weakness, right? It's the blood in the water, and go for it, go for it, go the whole,
power,
whole gambit.
It's like it's absolutely. That's a. I mean, I've always said they always did this. You know what the proof that we have a racist society? They're always talking about all these great white sharks. You know, where are the great black sharks? They smell blood. These black sharks smell blood in the water now. All these great black sharks out there. Oh, what's this?
Yeah, I want to play. I want to get to this one too. Play this in a moment. It's just amazing, kind of like the threats of violence and stuff. Listen to this. So this is the anti-whiteness and stuff like that. Listen, here's CNN. Here's foreign defense minister, I believe, Cohen. Listen to this here.
But I think that nationalism is confined to a specific group of people, and that's white people. And I think it's up to white people. I think it's up to white people to speak out and not allow this to become a black issue. This is white people who have held the power for these 400 years. We need to speak out and say it's time for a change.
So it's always about that. Like you did something wrong. Therefore, we're going to subject you to those wrongs. Two wrongs make a right in this regard.
That guy's name was Cohen?
William Cohen. Yeah, he's a former. He's now the chairman and CEO of the Cohen Group, but he's a former defense minister, I believe.
Okay. Well, and Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Sweden.
Yeah.
You're Swedish, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, Blitzer
was
is Sweden a Swedish.
Was involved in the slave trade at all?
yes, we made the... What was the argument when... who's that? Not Al Sharpton. Who's that other guy that also walks around and panders and like, you're bad because you're white, that guy? I always forget his name. He's that memorable, I guess. But anyway, he was up in Sweden and explained to us during a TV show there that the iron ore that Swedes were mining was later on eventually producing the shackles around the slaves' hands and feet and stuff. So therefore, we built our country on slavery, so we should just let them all in, millions. You know,
statistically, we don't know, but what is the likelihood that a Cohen is more descended from a slave owner than a Palmgren?
Right.
Because when I looked up, I had this World Book of Goats. There was this thing in the 90s. You could look up, like, you know, who were the first goats in America. And they were all like 15 and all males. I was like, those were white slaves. Those weren't entrepreneurs. And few people know that from like 1619 to about 1750, the majority of slaves were white. You never hear 400 years. If you want to actually, like, when blacks were actually the main slaves, and this also takes into account that 5-year-old white children in New England were working 18 hours a day in factories. They weren't called slaves. I mean, slavery, black slavery ruled supreme for about 100 years. I was boomer here. I was at the Rolling Stones in 1978 at JFK Stadium in Philadelphia, 90,000 people. Who opened up? Peter Tosh, reggae guy. And I remember him doing the song, 400 years, 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
He got booed off the stage. There were congressmen back then that they wouldn't have now. They'd be, again, analingus on him right now. But this is in 1978, and he's talking about 400 years. They didn't reach 400 years until last year. And they're talking about, what, 12 that were brought in 1619?
Right.
And they didn't even become a majority of slaves until 1750. It's bad math. But again, they, you know, white man can't jump. Show me a black who's won a calculus award.
Let's play some of this. Here's Vice. This was released just here today. Let's just play a part of it this year.
We have to survive. We need to live. We need to live. My brothers need to live. My sisters need to live. My mother needs to live. I want to breathe. I want to breathe.
We stand at a critical point in history. Give black people their rights, or we will burn this country to ashes.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, hey, hey. Slow down there, bud. That's supposed to be
Fed posting.
It's literally Fed posting.
But here's the thing. She's talking like a preacher. It's like, you know, you hear about a let's get religion out of politics. But, okay, let's get the Reverend Martin Luther King, the Reverend Al Sharpton, the Right Honorable Louis Farrakhan. All these morons who think religion is the answer, black people have plenty of religion. If you actually look at a world map of the most religious areas, it's sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East.
Mm, interesting.
That's all I'll say about that. Burn this country to the ground. When's the last time you heard a Nazi say that?
I was just going
to
say that. And that's why I framed it like that earlier. Imagine we could use their terms, which is they would have said white supremacy organization. But let's say it was an organization that advocated for, the improvement of the white community or something like that, right? We have a right to exist as well, kind of that kind of group, right? And then they had, had adjacent, what do you call it? Well, it's really riots, right? But let's say they had protests, right, in various cities, various white people have attracted themselves to that. And there had been violence at those, there had been things. And then you go up on a stage and you advocate for burning down the country if you don't get what you want, right? What would happen, do you think, to those people? What kind of life would they live after that point?
They'd all be in jail, probably, for racketeering or something. One, I mean, I know this is a libertarian concept and they're not cool to anybody anymore. I don't trust government. I don't trust humans with power because I'm aware of human nature. But rights, what the fuck rights is this guy denied?
I don't know. I don't know.
But here's the libertarian notion. Governments don't give rights. They take them away. You're born with every fucking right you need. Freedom of speech, if you can talk, that's all you need. What does he be? I'd like to sit him down behind a glass, put him in a cage so he doesn't shoot me and say, okay, what rights are you being denied? I'd really like to hear this.
Right, yeah.
It's like when they go off about patriarchy and then you start rattling off that women control more of the personal wealth than men do. Women do like 80% of the spending. Who cares who makes the money? It's important who spends it. and women live longer and they don't do jail time for the same, what rights? You guys are treated like gods.
My point was it's better that it's for the agenda, for the whole thing that we're seeing unfolding right now. It's better that they're pushing something which is not true than something that would be true. Because do you see what I'm saying? Now they can inject any craziness into this narrative that already isn't true, right? And push it, which would people believe that just blacks are being shot indiscriminately in America.
Once you've broken people, I always go back to Theodore Dalrymple, who writes for Tacky. He's not the most exciting writer in the world. But he wrote about political correctness, and he thought it was communism writ small. And he found in his studies, he was, a social worker or a psychologist in the British penal system. And he said that in his study of communist societies, he found that the purpose of communist propaganda wasn't to inform, it was to humiliate someone.
Yeah.
And he said, when you can get someone to admit or to concede to an obvious falsehood, you've broken them. The struggle's over. You got them.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think the one thing that's more prominent in that than anything else is the tranny thing. It's like, no, you have to say that's a woman or you're basically dead. When 10 years ago, no one believed that. Yeah. You know, 1% tops people believe that. But okay, I have to say it's a woman to not lose my job. Okay, boom, your spine has been broken.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, blacks are big. Fuck you, they're not. Sorry. not the case. And more white people have to have that attitude. Yeah, I know they're going to get violent and they're not going to be prosecuted. So, you know, say it, like I said, from behind glass, but say it for fuck's sake.
Right.
So you have some self-esteem.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't care. He doesn't even care about the facts. He doesn't care who he offends. What the hell's wrong with white people that they do?
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, you look around and you see a lot of these people and it's like these, I always try to keep in mind that, yeah, the brainwashing is pretty rough, right? I mean, they have a veil over their eyes. They can't see clearly. They've been, their vision has been clouded, whatever you want to call it. And so there is room for, gently try to bring them out of that dream that they're in, the fantasy that they're in. At the same time, I feel many days these people are just, they're lost. If you bow down and beg and grovel in this way, you've done nothing wrong. You've nothing to be ashamed of. You shouldn't feel guilt. Our group has not done anything which is uniquely evil throughout history. Everybody did this. If you can't, you know, break out of that, you're lost, right? It feels like that anyway.
Well, I'd like, you know, I don't know how much you follow football, but I think Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls. I think the other closest quarterback, there are a couple quarterbacks who won 4. Imagine all the other teams coming to the New England Patriots and saying, you need to feel ashamed. We want those Super Bowl trophies. You want, you know, even though he won fair and square, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. You always bring, you know, whites really were the only explorers. No, there was Hannibal. There were the Moors. They tried conquering Europe. They eventually got routed. So you lost, and you want us to feel ashamed for winning. That doesn't make any sense. But I look at this, and I wondered, like, have you ever heard any black people discussing optics?
No.
How can these fucking morons who ran with their tails between their legs after Charlottesville? I wasn't at Charlottesville, but I watched the shit all day. I was on the Faith Goldie stream when the car crash happened right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
All day I saw violence 98% from one side. And you got these morons, oh, optics, oh, it's our, we fucked up. It's like, no, we didn't. You got framed. Black America's been doing this shit for a month now in every fucking city. And you want to say a white guy who talks about it is like, needs to go to federal prison?
Yeah.
You talk about like enemies. Those guys have done more destruction than Antifa has.
Well, and they even managed to – let me play this too. This is kind of interesting. And I want to actually return to this Vice piece because I haven't seen the whole thing. I just started watching it and I just thought, holy shit, this is bad, right? But listen to this because there's a justification for everything. There's always a way out of this, right? But here's a
look on his face.
Here's an intellectual from the movement, right? Professor, author, and activist Mark Lamont Hill discussing here. What's the purpose of these protests? Listen to this here. Let's take from the top here.
I invite our viewers to watch you, to hear your full essay. I wonder now, after last night and some of the things we saw throughout today, especially in places like Philadelphia and Los Angeles, do you still feel the same way?
I do. I think the language of riot takes away the political undertone of these actions. We can make our own judgments about whether or not people should do them or not, but I want to be very clear that this isn't random violence and random theft. This is a political statement that is a set of coordinated activities around the country made by people who are exhausted by the state. They're exhausted from everything from COVID-19 to the most recent string of killings and deaths. And so by using the language of rebellion rather than riot, we're able to really get set our sights on what's actually happening here.
So explain something to me, Mark, because
we're going to jump in. I'm going to listen more, but jump in there.
The last two videos, they talked about how they're tired and exhausted. Guess who else is?
Yeah, exactly.
Guess who's really fucking tired?
And this is really helping, too. It's helping to create less white supremacists, right? It's gonna.
Here's another question I'd ask any one of these motherfuckers, going back to Rodney King, Mike Brown, Trayvon Martin, any of them, except for Dylann Roof. He made his intentions clear. Where's the evidence that any of this had to do with race besides the fact the cop was white and the victim was black?
Right.
Where is the statement, the motive? Where? In any of them. So what they're doing is it's a white guy and the black guy dies. This was racism. Okay. then by applying that standard, whenever a white gets killed by a black, so, okay, there is more racist violence against whites. If that's your standard. Oh, you're going to have the double standard until justice is achieved. No.
Yes.
We're tired of this shit. Beyond tired.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I agree. Listen a little bit more here. It's hilarious.
Seen some bad actors in this, and yeah, they are white, they are black.
Just some bad actors, and they're white. Remember the Joe Rogan talking about his white, all these white kids with skateboards doing all their looting and rioting? They're the ones taking the sneakers. I mean, and he said, like, I probably watched 1,000 videos. It's like, I kept up pretty darn good with all the stuff that was going on in feeds as much as I could, and it was like maybe 7-8% white people, these looting and riots and stuff in the stores.
Seattle and Portland, the joke I've always told about Portland is, yeah, there are 5 black men there. They're called the Trailblazers. They're an NBA team. Portland is screaming, you know, the only place I think whiter than the Northwest is New England. Like Maine is great, like 98, Vermont.
We love Maine. Maine is good.
The only monosyllabic state. But yeah, Portland is, and it's always a place like Minneapolis, which is, you know, Minneapolis, I think last I checked, is like 10% black. That's still under the national average. Mm. When I lived through the LA riots, LA was 7% black. I'm here in Atlanta with a black mayor. We haven't had a white mayor since 1974.
Mm. Yeah.
And immediately fires the cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably going to burn and probably going to be the next Detroit. All I'd like to say is, you want to have a discussion, tell me where's the evidence any of this was racial.
Yeah, I agree.
You fucking made it racial. NBC with the truth.
Yeah, because it's an opportunity, because the agenda is anti-white. It's about, I mean, yeah, as much as they talk about Black Lives Matter and black people and discrimination, it always skews against hurting white people in some way, or removing them from influence or power, or, you know, striking them down, or, you know, that's what it's about. This is what it's about. All this is about white people. That's what it is.
I mean, hypothetical here, if I was black. Okay, here's another, I won't even have to go there. I went to prison. They put you in cells. They move you all around because they get money just for moving you around. So I had black cellmates. I never even asked them. One after the next said, you know, the only white guys I respect in here are the Nazis. And it's like, that's interesting. Why? It's like, everyone's racial. The Nazis will stab me in the stomach instead of the back. I'm like, interesting. All right. Okay. Spade, blackjack. I win. Like, you're playing cards and you're talking about this shit, you know? And it's like, look at the sanctimonious fucking expression on this black guy and the apologetic pain. I don't want to see any of this. These people aren't funny. They're not creative. They're cult members.
It is a cult.
The U.S. is a cult now.
It is. People need to know how bad this is. That the justification of all this shit that we've seen is still coming through the main. It's remarkable that they're able to pull it off, but they are. I mean, there's more and more people noticing. Don't get me wrong, but the vast majority are in a trance, and they just go along with this shit.
One thing that I guess makes me autistic or sociopathic. Focusing on facts and not emotions. I look at this word injustice. I'm like, do you have an injusticeometer? We can fucking measure that.
Yes,
or is that actually
they do.
Something that's just a feeling? You feel it's unjust because the cops didn't let the guy just run away after stealing his tape.
They should. Well, the point is, after watching all these letters, it's essentially, if you're black, you should be able to get away with absolutely anything. And anything else would be systemic racism, and would destroy the lives of the. Can you imagine being a cop, like having that in the back of your mind of all these? You have, what do they call it? Interactions, I think they call it, right? That shit. What if this goes wrong? What if it's my face on national and even international media being hung out as the new boogeyman? You know.
A couple things. Statistically, black cops are more likely to kill a black suspect than a white cop. They've done these studies. They did them with cops and just ordinary citizens. They had videos. They gave the guy like a joystick or a, you know, a fake toy gun. And the video showed Hispanics, blacks, and whites coming at you. Everyone everyone's cops and citizens was slowest to kill the black.
Right, right.
For some reason, they were quickest to kill Hispanics. I can't figure that one out. But again and again,
it's about,
like, and I can't mention this enough. I'm a fucking hothead. I'm in ways an idealist. If I became an idealistic cop, I know within a week I'd be corrupt. I couldn't handle people lying and just seeing the sickness day in and day out. It's maybe in the future it might be an idea, a good idea to get robot cops or something.
Well, that's coming. No, don't get me wrong. And that's what they really want. That's when the fucking shit hits the fan for real and we're all in trouble.
Well, just at least for the, because there's an unrealistic expectation that that's a job that any person could really handle. What I always find ironic, it's these blue-haired, obese, pierced lesbians who shit their pants and set dumpster fires when somebody misgenders them, thinks they could handle being a cop for 5 minutes without clubbing people.
Right. Yeah.
These people who like, you know, they lose their shit over the tiniest thing. They could see all these domestic situations, these junkies, these liars, these people getting raped day in and day out, and they're never guilty. They're always lying. Every one of them has to have some form of PTSD.
Right.
It's not about, you know, I'm not necessarily pro-cop. I'm empathetic. That's an impossible fucking job.
Right. I mean, again, this is, and it shouldn't be mistaken as such. And most people I talk to have that, you know, view too. It's like, no, it doesn't mean we justify shit. There's corrupt cops, bad cops, shitty cops, and all this shit. But what's happening right now, Jim, is this is going to definitely weed out the good cops. They'll leave. The cop, they won't be able to take it. They don't want to be in this kind of situation. But the most shitty cops that can like handle this kind of stuff and even get like off on it, they're the ones who will remain. And that's the, you know, this is insanity, because if the strike comes and hits full swing, we could just, you know, we'll see a boogaloo, ooga boogaloo, maybe even.
It's hard to, you know, again, information on the internet. But there were reports last night in Atlanta, because as the otter, the black otter guy, charged this cop with murder, that in at least three precincts on the south side of Atlanta, which is like the absolutely 100% black area, that a crazy amount of cops called in sick.
Yeah, I heard that. Yep, I was going to pull that up here in a moment.
And I mean, I lived through the L.A. riots. They had, you can look him up, Daryl Gates, D-A-R-Y-L-G-A-T-E-S. He was chief of the LAPD when the riots popped off. And they announced that, you know, they found the cops innocent for the beating of Rodney King. And they started gathering around the police station downtown. And then fires started happening in South Central. Daryl Gates was at a police banquet the whole time. The theory is, he said, all right, you hate cops? We're going to let them burn shit for a while, just so you see what the world is like without cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There he is. He was, oh my God. I don't think black people ever hated anybody more than they hated Daryl Gates. He had this, and he was kind of a knucklehead in some senses. He was asked why more black suspects were dying from chokeholds than white suspects at the hands of the LAPD. He said, well, they don't have windpipes like normal people. I mean, yeah, I can laugh at that. It's just so dumb. But, yeah, he'd get shot for saying that.
Here's the story here. Well, one of the – fucking Washington Post.
Yeah.
Go – all right, let me do this. Let me open it in a – I know a way around this here. All right, Washington Post. What is – no, that usually works. Okay, so they say the claim is – all right, let me do this one. Minneapolis Tribune, right? Atlanta police call out sick to protest charges in shooting, right? So there was kind of a – they tried to backpedal on this. First, it was like we heard rumors that it is a national strike coming, right? And then Atlanta, and I'll say, no, it's just we got more calls than usual. And yeah, some more people than not have called in sick or whatever. But what do you think this is going? Do you think that we're going to see a national police strike coming?
I mean, I'm not good at predictions. What I can point out is that the Atlanta PD is 50% black, 56% black already.
Right.
It's a majority black. There are more percentage-wise Atlanta cops, black cops, than there are black people in Atlanta. I think it's about 50% black, but 50. So they're overrepresented as cops, and they still can't win. But I'm not sure what would the actual fallout be. I mean, it could go either way. You'd say, okay, yeah, we need you, come back, or hey, fuck you. You left us out to die. It could make people more pro-cop or anti-cop. I'm not really sure how that would go.
Yeah.
But the defund the police. And I've seen a couple instances of this. There was some black activist in Minneapolis, and the rioters set – it was some public housing building that was built $30 million specifically for poorer income people, which, you know, is predominantly, I guess, blacks in Minneapolis. They burned that. So he posts a picture of this building burning. He's like, burn that shit down. And then like a day or two later, he's like, these animals have invaded my neighborhood.
I saw that. That was hilarious.
And it was, I would think it was the mayor of Olympia, Washington, like the most lesbian, femme-centric city in America. She was talking about, you know, this, you know, let them do it. And then like somebody tagged her house with BLM. She's like, this is domestic terrorism.
Yep. As soon as it arrives at their doorstep.
I think, you know, a big, huge pill for some of these people might be just getting punched in the face by some black person. Or it's what's like, hey, I'm on your side. Fuck you. And they punch him again.
Right.
Yeah. That might be. And
possibly, but it's a lot of, that's heavy mind control here, too. We've seen cases, and it maybe not completely comparable, but we've seen cases where, for example, someone's daughter is raped and or murdered by illegals or something like that, right? And the parents just goes out on like a fundraising drive to help illegals. And
that's the most sick. And what was it, in Iowa, the girl got murdered by an illegal immigrant, and the dad like adopted. There was something like that.
And they were like, we don't like that right wingers are using our daughter for, you know, XYZ.
We would love Mexican food. Or he actually said something like that. It's like, oh, fuck.
Man.
Your daughter's dead, man.
Mayor says sick calls aren't affecting safety as APD Foundation hands out bonuses. Well, how about that, huh? Yeah, all right. Nothing
remarkable about how twisted Atlanta is. The mayor is Keisha Lance Bottoms. That's her name. Like I said, we haven't had a white mayor since 1974. I know the last two mayoral elections, it's done on, they got to get the first round, they have to get 50%. Mm-hmm. The last two elections, a white woman, Mary Norwood, won the highest percentage, but she was under 50%. So she had to go after the top vote-getting black person out of the 20 black candidates. And both times that remaining black won the election because there's so many black people in Atlanta. Mm. But it's black top to bottom. The night that the rioting started 2 weeks ago when they went after CNN, she's there and she's giving this conference and I have a black son and she gets T.I. on there. He's a rapper, talks about, you know, blowing people's heads off. And he actually said, he's like, man, this is all Wakanda. We can't burn this down. It's like, you know, anybody who talks about politics through movies is a fucking idiot. But then they have Killer Mike on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've seen Killer Mike. Yeah. Did you see the picture of Killer, big fat beast?
Yeah. Wasn't he the guy who was like hanging out with Bernie? He did
Bernie
some videos. Yeah.
Fist bumping Bernie Sanders at the black barbershop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Killer Mike gets up there with a t-shirt that says kill your masters.
Yep. That's right. I saw it. Remember that.
And talking about, you know, his heart's broken and all this shit. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? I'm trying to think of something. When did Herbert Hoover have Al Capone on stage? But that's how crazy it's become. And it's funny, like, and that was, we were going to do an Answer Me number 5 that was going to be about race. And Boyd Rice was going to, it was an article like the Black Heroes League. Because even back then, it's like Mike, it's like Rodney King. It's like there are black people that are heroic. This fat slob is not one of them. And mentally retarded. God. But kill your masters. But he's essentially, and the mayor, they're the masters.
That's just it, right? So, like,
but they don't even see the.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
They don't even see how ridiculous this is.
No. Well, again, because this is, it's divorced from reality. It's just the perception. Whites, and that's also, you know, cops as they're a representation of, like, you know, white order, the Western world, and that's why all of that needs to go, right? That just needs to be ripped off. And now, like we saw in Chaz, right? Like, we're just going to, you know, send in the mental health experts and the social workers, and that will sort. There aren't really, this is what they believe, there aren't really just truly criminally minded individuals that just, regardless of how much money you pour at them, no matter how much you try to help them, they will commit crime. And they like committing crime. They're criminals at their core. And they're murderers at their core, right? At some point, you have to have the threat of violence there. And that's why the state has monopoly on violence, to try to, you know, keep this at bay. Is it perfect? No. Are there shitty cops that do bad things? Sure. But this shit that they want to pull off here with defunding the police or even disbanding it completely in some areas, this is insanity. Complete insanity. In a way, I wish that they do it because I kind of want to see what happens, to be honest.
Other people have made this comment. It's almost like with gay people. I remember it was like, stay out of our bedroom. Now it's like, we're going to drag you in our bedroom and force you to watch. What happened with that?
We're going to bend over now. That's it, yeah.
Flavor Flav from Public Enemy. 911's a joke. The cops respond too slowly. Now it's like, stay the fuck out of our neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. The whole world is a no-go zone now, Jim.
Where is?
All of the West, I should say. The West is becoming a no-go zone, like, altogether.
Yeah, San Francisco. I mean, the sad thing is, I live in the East. I'm from the East. It's beautiful out there. You get out, like, past the Rockies, that's the most gorgeous. Utah's, I've been to all 50 states. I've been to Utah twice, and 20 years apart. The scenery was so mind-blowing, I just started laughing, which is a weird response, but, like, I couldn't believe it. So it's sad, but I experienced it firsthand. I moved to Portland in 95 and got persecuted immediately for the shit I'd written, mm-hmm. which was kind of proto stuff people are getting banned for now. And it's just, it's more, and you wonder why that is. Maybe the ones in the East are more traditional. They stay in the West are, you know, they're more non-traditional and just experiment and explore. I don't know why the West is that much more left. But it's been crazy out there for a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty nutty. Let me play some more of this. I want to try to go through this. I want to go back to the Vice piece later too. This is just hilarious. But what do you call it? Black splaining or what do we call it? Like the riots. Listen.
They are Hispanic, and we have seen scenes of them stealing televisions, stealing skateboards, stealing sneakers. We've seen a woman steal a cheesecake from a cheesecake factory. What does that have to do with George Floyd's death?
So I think, one, we could look in any mass sea of actions and find people who make choices that we might find undesirable or we'd rather make a different choice than they would.
Oh, well, natural.
But the point of the rebellion, the point even of damaging property is a form of scarring public tissue. It's a way of taking something that is ordinary, and sadly, black death is ordinary in this country, and making it unusual, creating a spectacle.
Listen to this. This is amazing.
It's a way of taking something that is ordinary, and sadly, black death is ordinary in this country.
All right. Wait a minute. Like, the spurgouts and the shit that we've seen in the wake of these things have been anything but ordinary, right? I'm trying to pull up your tweet here again about this.
Yeah, I was like, can we bring up that, like, yeah. Blacks being killed? This, there you go.
This is how few it is, and every time, essentially, since, I don't know, when did this start, 2014 or 15 or something? Just these mass riots and stuff, and it wasn't, like, nationwide as it has been in the last 3 weeks, but it was, you know, isolated cities and stuff, like, you know, Baltimore, we saw that in, you know, some areas, but that's retarded. Whole of society is responding to this, and even Trump is signing executive orders now to do police reform. This is the whole world is transforming, and they know this. It's a thing. They know this.
Trust that plan.
Trust the plan. Yeah, that's right. He's going to fix that black unemployment rate.
But you would show this guy a chart. What would he say? You know, well, you've conditioned us to hate one another and kill one another. So shut up. You don't have a fucking. If black genocide's going on, then that chart tells you all you need to go after the perps.
Right.
Start killing the black killers of other blacks, I guess. Cops.
Let's listen a bit more here.
But here's the thing, too. Yeah, okay, defund the police.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Here's what happened in – I'm trying to think of a place because there's an – Atlanta has a really bad reputation for crime. I think it's like number two or three in the country. I'm almost a scholar of slums. And there's not really that many neighborhoods that look as horrifying as ones in Boston or Chicago or Philadelphia. Again, talking about a lot of stuff here and you're senile, you lose your train of thought. What are we talking about?
I wanted to.
A lot of data here.
Yeah, a lot of data. I wanted to. Well, let's see. There's a lot of threads going on here. I wanted to get back to this idea that the claim is it's ordinary that a black man is murdered by police like this. And there's no reactions to it, and therefore they have to create this spectacle around this. Otherwise, people would just neglect it.
I've been trying to find this, and maybe it's been disappeared. When the Trayvon stuff happened, there was actually a case, and it was on video, unlike Trayvon. Black cop
white teen, Salt Lake City, had the knee down on the white guy on his head, shot him right in the head. Nothing.
No riot.
Statistically, like I said, black cops are more likely to kill a black suspect than a white cop. Statistically, over 2 times as many white people get killed by cops every year, and everyone's all like, okay, do the math. There's 5 times as many white people. Okay. But blacks are overrepresented in murder by a, you know, factor of 4. Last FBI, I looked at an FBI uniform crime report from like 2015, 2016. And if you take them as 13% of the population, the only area of crime that they underperformed in was drunk driving, and it was like 12%. I'm thinking, well, maybe they don't own as many cars. I don't know. I don't know what, but like last I checked, they're even overrepresented in that. Mm. And it's like white people have been trained into not having a consciousness. And you know, okay, yeah, I understand there are Swedes and Irish and Russian and Catholics and Protestants and atheists and pagans. Yeah, and I realize, yeah, and they've been at each other's throats, and it's like, yeah, and they'd like to continue to be proud of being Swedish and proud, but you can't be proud of being white. You can't even be white. Right. You never hear them say, well, you can be proud of being Nigerian.
That's
be proud
fine.
Of being from Zimbabwe. Mm. No, be proud of everything your ancestors have not accomplished, suffered.
Right, yeah.
Because they want to start talking about accomplishments. Not too good.
It's true. It's true. Let's play some more.
Making it unusual, creating a spectacle around it, drawing attention to it. And many activists feel that if they march, if they have marathons, if they hashtag, if they do all of these things, the nation doesn't notice. It's only when property is damaged. It's only when other people begin to feel the level of discomfort that black people feel that they get attention. So when you see someone.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me get this right. So we need to this rioting and the looting and the burning and the violence and the murder and the beatdowns of whites and all that stuff. That's what they feel like that all the time, I guess. Then
because
that's,
yeah, we're always going into their neighborhoods and burning them. Oh wait,
right,
no, we're
right,
not.
Right. And then of course you kind of well, but if we're so horrible to live around and just so unbearably racist and white supremacist and like. Well, let us have our own spaces then. How about that?
That's the thing. And I've had a running challenge for 25 years. I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying. They're kept down here. All right, let's take that premise. They are kept down here. Logically, the next statement you could make from that is they should be doing better everywhere else. And I've been challenging people. I'm like, can you show me a majority black country where blacks live longer and have a higher standard of living than they do here? And the best somebody could come up with after 25 years was like, well, the Bahamas, like St. Martin or something, like one of the Virgin Islands or something, where blacks make like $1,000 more a year. And it's still predominantly white island, I think. And, you know, just a tiny bit, and it's a tourism. So yeah, there's going to be money there. But name an African country where they're in control and not being kept down. Oh, wait, they live 15 years less. There's 40% HIV infestation. They make $15,000 less a year. And when you say $15,000 less a year, what that means is the per capita income, last I checked, of a black in America is like $16,800. And in Africa, it's like, you know, $1,500 or whatever. They have, and you've heard about voting with your feet, right?
No, remind me. I don't think I have, actually.
Okay, Tim Wise votes with his feet. He speaks out of his mouth, blacks, 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 blacks. He lives in an all-white neighborhood.
Right, right.
He says one thing, but his feet stay in that all-white
neighborhood. Oh, gotcha. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Black people vote with their feet when they fucking stay in America, where they're being kept down instead of the beautiful motherland. You know, it's like, yeah, words are one thing. Actions say what you really fucking feel, and you're staying here.
But we also have to know that it's a desire to tear down that's driving this. It's a desire to fuck shit up and to ruin things. That's why it's not to build a utopia and a better world. It's let's just destroy what the white man has created. That's what's driving this, right?
Here's the thought I've been pushing. I've mentioned it a couple times. We hear about black rage all the time. And I'm not a mind reader. Like I always say, well, this is what they're really thinking. I speculate. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people claim they know. And you know how I learned not to do that? Two reasons. Journalism school told me you really don't know what anyone else is thinking. You just say what they say. You can compare their actions to their words, but you don't know what's in someone else's mind. They could be lying. But, you know, black people's behavior doesn't suggest to me that they're really angry, that there's something, what it suggests to me is there's something underlying the rage. I'll tell you what, if my peeps' entire history was being squashed and being primitive and being enslaved and not inventing a written language and inventing what, peanut butter? You know what I wouldn't feel? Well, I might feel rage eventually, but you know what propel that rage? Shame.
Right.
They don't like being reminded of their failure. And I think that's what's driving it. You can't say anything because they'll just fucking riot. It's like, well, hate to break it to you, but I really think your problem here is you're acting so proud because you really know you don't have much to be proud of. It's like the people who have to prove they're not a fag. You know, like, no one even brought it up. It's like, why are you proud? Well, I ordered a sandwich. Oh, like, where's my sandwich?
Oh, that's funny. So yeah, we've seen this. I don't know how much of these videos you've seen, but we've covered them in the last, yeah, basically, what, 3 weeks or so. There's just like, whether it's actually during like a BLM, you know, protest or riot, whether it's just randomly out on the streets, where white people are attacked by largely majority black people. In some cases, it's 10 on 1, 20 on 1, 30 on 1 and stuff like that, right? Just open, literally the open season on whites. And you don't have large media coverage of this as well. In a way, it's kind of to send the message that this is sanction. This is to equalize an unfair situation. They're just, you know, blowing off some steam. Exactly. Make them uncomfortable, right?
Another thing I always mention, too, is, okay, because Asians really fuck it. Asians do a fantastic job of fucking the whole narrative up. Because, I mean, I've looked at the per capita income among ethnic groups in America, and number one last I checked wasn't even Jews. It was Indians.
Yeah.
But like the first 12 or 13 are Asians and Jews. And if we live in a white supremacist country, why are they making more money than us? And why are they committing fewer crimes and getting arrested less than us? Might it have something to do with their behavior or intelligence?
It's very possible, right?
Asians,
it's very possible.
They should have never let Asians in because Asians, they destroy the plan.
But at the same time, when you don't operate in reality, you can just ignore that and just keep marching forward, you know?
I suppose. But one thing I've definitely noticed, who was it, Ellen Powell that took over Reddit and then got rid of all the Donald Trump subreddits? And
oh, yeah, and they quarantined them and stuff. Yeah.
Suey Park was this nut who tried to get Stephen Colbert canceled because he made some egg roll joke.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that when Asians go social justice, they're full on Mao.
Yeah. What was her name again? The New York Times
Sarah Jeong.
Yes, that's right, Sarah Jeong. It was just relentless. I have seen it from some primarily women, but we actually have a guy in Sweden. I haven't covered it yet, but his name is Tobias Hübinette. He's writing on, you know, statistics and adoption and Swedishness and these kinds of things. He was adopted himself, I believe, and he's continuously talking and monitoring and tracking and tracing this idea that Swedes are becoming a minority in our own country. And he's just like hell bent. This is a great thing. This is absolutely amazing. The whiteness and the Swedishness of these people need to be, you know, eroded completely and stuff. There is some of that, but primarily I think it's Asian women that's going hard on the issue.
Yeah. I've known a couple, Gavin and I shared a Korean stalker who went off on us, a male, who felt snubbed by us and then just went on this insane, obsessive defamation. It's like 10 years now and he's still going. I mean, underlying it is like, we didn't think you were cool enough. And you started getting weird and annoying. We just said, hey, leave us alone. And you went on this. But with me, he was upset that I recommended The Culture of Critique.
Oh, okay. Why?
And just, well, he fought in Iraq. And I gently, kind of passive aggressively, well, maybe you feel a little defensive because you offered your yellow body for Zionism.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, it's typically the Asian women are just, you know, dragon ladies with this shit.
Let's take a look at this one. I wanted to cover some of this. The statue removal. So it's been crazy around the
if
US.
Tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom.
You guys ready? Here we go.
Proud to be an American, and I won't forget the man who died who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Can I make a YouTube request?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Look up Frank Rizzo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep, I saw it. Frank Rizzo, the statue. Is it Philadelphia?
Look up the clip, Frank Rizzo, and then put in break camera. Because they took the Frank Rizzo statue down. Frank Rizzo was the police commissioner of Philly in the late 60s, the mayor from 72 to 80. People say Donald Trump had attitude. Yet Donald Trump talks shit to reporters. You ever see Donald Trump threaten to fight a reporter?
Not physically. Yeah, I'm trying to find it here. I'm doing it on YouTube. Maybe they're hiding that or something. Yeah, breaking camera. Let's see here.
Frank Rizzo reporter.
There it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Frank Rizzo Creek.
All right, I think this is one.
This is the man we need resurrected from the dead right now.
Let me see. Where are we? Here we are. Is this
this
the one?
Guy, and one second. Like I wrote an article about the statue being removed. This in the 60s and 70s, this is the closest thing the North had to like a George Wallace character. Frank Rizzo was Italian, probably very mobbed up, but he even said, he's like, well, if blacks agree with me, they can vote for me, but I'm telling people, vote white. Check how this guy treats a reporter.
There we go.
Sir, how are you?
Good.
Can we talk with you for just a moment?
No, I'm busy.
You couldn't answer any of our questions?
I wouldn't talk to you under any condition.
Why is that, sir?
Forget it. Scram. Get out of here.
Sir, I understand
now
that
look,
these...
Get away from me. Get away from me.
We're allowed to be on the street, sir.
I don't want to talk to you. Get away from me.
How do you feel about the security guards
get
being
away
taken
from,
off of you, sir?
Get away from me or I'm going to throw you out in the middle of the street.
Sir, one more question.
I'm telling you, get away from me.
You were the symbol of law and order in Philadelphia, sir. For many years, people looked
get
up to you and respected
me.
You.
Look, creep, get out of here.
How could you justify your actions at our cameras last Monday
creep,
in front of your
get
house?
Out. You're a creep.
We're a member of the media. We'd
you're
like to have an answer to our question.
You're a creep.
Why did you attack our cameras, sir?
Get it all. Don't miss any of it. You're a creep. Get away from me.
Would you answer the question?
You know, you hide behind that press card.
I'm not hiding Give behind me. Anything, sir.
Well,
I just want to get
tell
some
you
answers.
What to do. There's a gang of yous here. There's enough of you here. By myself, I'll take yous physically.
Well, I'm not asking.
I'll take yous. I'll take yous.
Well, sir, I'm on the street. I should be authorized to be here.
I'll break it over your head. Get away from me, you crumb.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
That's a challenge. Except I'll put my dog
There's
away.
There's some body language going on right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can talk till we're blue in the face and be factually correct. Until we've got the body language on the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the optics thing, it's like, oh, so you're just going to give up the streets. I think both the Nazis and Antifa in Germany in the 30s knew that having the body language on the streets has a lot to do with who winds
Well, that's why the Antifa supporting network went so hard after the Proud Boys, because it was a pushback. These Antifa, the Antifa guts are actually a asset by the establishment. They're being used as a little penalizing force to make sure that there's no competitive gang on the streets that actually dominate and take over, you know?
I also, again, I went to journalism school. When you what happened with that Proud Boys incident, you had de Blasio, the mayor of New York, and Cuomo, the governor, within 15 seconds saying, hate's not allowed here, these will be processed. Judge and jury already.
Yes. Yeah.
What they taught us in journalism school is you have to stay alleged. Until somebody's convicted of a crime, you're libeling them.
Right. Yep.
Now we have mayors just libeling people who haven't even been tried.
Straight up. No, but did you see the Albuquerque situation? The guy who shot one of the protesters, and they swung a fucking skateboard in his face. I mean, they could have cracked his skull open, right? He was justified. I forget who it was, but someone in the political scene down there came out immediately and started like demonizing this civil guard that was there. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course. But you know what I noticed? I noticed when the cops came, the guy who shot that guy sat down,
yep,
put his hands up.
That's right. Major difference. Major difference, right?
I would if anybody out there, you can put it on a link on comments under this. I'd like to see statistics on rates of resisting arrest among the races.
I think in Sweden, I think at some age we were taught like what to do when you encounter a cop, right, or a police. How do you behave? What's the regiment or whatever you want to call it? What year in school does Americans get that? Do you remember? Do you have any info on that? It's obvious that these people don't know what to do, or they need to be re-educated in terms of what to do or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, these are people I don't remember any specific instructions or training. You just knew. I always bring this story up. 6 weeks, like I said, they always move you around in cells. My last 6 weeks at Oregon State Penitentiary, they had me in a cell with this Mexican anarchist from Eugene, Oregon. Nice enough guy. And I got out and I went over a friend's house the night I got out and I was explaining, my last cellmate. He's like, what did he do? And like, well, he was at an anarchist protest in Eugene and he threw a rock at a cop. He's like, and how long did he get? I'm like, 7 years, day for day, no good time. He paused. He's like, he deserved it. Stupid to throw a rock at a cop.
Right.
And like, deserve it for what damage he did 7 years. No, that's not equivalent, but yeah, you deserve it for the stupidity. Like, what do these guys expect? I don't know if you've seen, I just saw it was video and I guess the guy finally got like 110 years. It was a stop, two white cops, black guy. The black guy failed the sobriety test, but then started wrestling with them. They're tasing him. He's out in the highway. They care enough. They drag him out of the highway so he doesn't get run over. He keeps fighting. Then somehow gets in his car, starts shooting at them.
Jeez.
And then starts shooting out his back window all the way.
Was this from like a couple of years ago? I think I saw something.
2017, but they finally convicted the guy.
All right. I think I saw this. I think I might have seen that, yeah.
And I don't know, like, I can imagine white people resisting if they're on meth or if they're schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be the default with blacks.
It's always this, what do we hear? Like, well, yeah, but that's because they're afraid that they're going to die. But they're like, yeah, when you're fighting back, the chances are higher that you will die. Just don't resist arrest. Don't fight. Don't do anything,
A lot of dumb behavior here.
It just is. I mean, it's just sad to say that, but that's just the reality of this thing. It's like no inhibitions. It's it's just,
Again, can't say it enough. 12 years of Catholic school. I remember in high school, this nun said the blacks, and I don't think they do this anymore, but they're like, yeah, the blacks are poor because they don't understand the principle of deferred gratification. They don't understand. You save, you don't get, you don't spend the money on Friday when you get it. You plan. And you want that writ large. It's like, name one riot area that ever gets better. Newark and Detroit both rioted in like 1967 and only got worse.
Yeah.
It's the Ferguson effect. Ferguson, Baltimore. The one really horrifyingly bad neighborhood in Atlanta. It's two neighborhoods that are officially called English Avenue and Vine City, but it's known as the Bluff, and that's a scary name. And this is like hair-raisingly, like midgets in wheelchairs come like rolling towards you to sell you heroin. It's like, no, I'm good, I'm cool. Like horrifying. But that's where the riots were in Atlanta in the 60s.
Yeah.
Long-term planning, deferred gratification, burn everything in your own fucking neighborhood down, make the cops not give a shit anymore. What happens? More black lives lost.
Right.
It's like almost brilliant how they get everything wrong.
Yeah, and then that can be continued to be used for the justification of more spurred out in action, right? Because it doesn't get better. So, this is
always
infinite
gets worse.
Loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I do want to get to your super chats here in a little bit too. I've ended up behind on that. I do appreciate it all. I know there's some questions for you in there too, Jim. So we'll deal with that here in a little bit in a moment. I wanted to play this. I put it up on Twitter just to contrast, right? The things of there's so many avenues here we could talk about it, but you know, as a white person, how do I summarize it? But we're seeing open, like, black power, like, both symbols but also rhetoric and stuff, and you know, out into the streets and reiterated by media, and, like, white people have to bow and all these kinds of things, right? But then now there's this is from a few years ago, so it's not now, but I put the clip on Twitter. It's a problem even for if white people are dating each other now. Check this out, Jim.
WhereWhitePeopleMeet.com. The billboard causing such offense, the city made them take it down. But it also encapsulated the controversy surrounding race and online dating.
You guys have been personally accused of being racist.
We're not racist.
And what do you hope that the website does?
But critics worry a site like this creates a forum for racial prejudice.
In the terms, it says you cannot do anything that what?
Promotes racism, bigotry, hatred, or physical harm of any kind against any group or individual.
So under that banner, declarations of affiliation with white supremacist groups, that would fall under that?
Absolutely. Yes, some sort of a black extremist group.
What are we
based?
Okay, so will you just delete that?
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the things you've had to take down.
There's been a few profiles of people who just go on and make a fake profile of, like, people like a black face or a picture of Adolf Hitler and people.
Alarming stuff.
Yep.
At 18, do you think you're prepared to do that?
Yeah. So I've always.
This isn't about just business. Man. It's also about a national conversation on racial discrimination.
What's with the owners of this
it's
website?
It's so appalling. The first question I asked was, is this for real?
The implication of where white people meet is that these poor white people are having trouble meeting, which is not true. The world is our f***ing oyster.
Emma Tesler is the founder of the matchmaking service The Dating Ring. She says the majority of her clients do have a racial preference. More often than not, it's white.
For whatever reason, people still feel like it's okay to say, I only want to date white people.
My fellow white people.
Yeah, fellow whites. That's right. All right. So basically, this can only mean one thing, and it means it's a problem that we exist, Jim. Because if white people can't date, there's not going to be any relationships, and there's not going to be any kids, right? So this is like that's controversial now.
And I've said it many times. Like the gaslighting really makes my blood boil. Yeah. At the same time, last time I was on, we couldn't mention the R word, right?
Right, right.
Great R.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're saying it's not happening, you're nuts, but I can't wait until 2040 when it happens.
Exactly. We're very excited, and it's a good thing, but you're a conspiracy theorist and a Nazi if we're talking about it. No, I mean, it's just so insane and so crazy. Why don't we go back? Let's go back to Vice a little bit, and then we'll start with some of the super chats. Do you have time still, Jim, or are you in a hurry? No? Okay.
One real quick tidbit about Vice. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. It was founded by three people, Gavin McInnes, Shane Smith, and Sarush Alvey.
Yep.
According to Gavin and Sarush, the reason it was founded was Gavin and Sarush, especially the Pakistani ex-heroin addict, was a huge fan of my magazine Answer Me, and they decided to start their own magazine.
Ah, nice.
So I blame me for Vice.
Yeah, it's a disease at this point.
I wrote plaguing for them for a while, and then I think I had a role in Gavin getting squeezed out of there because I was writing articles and they lost advertisers. I did one about slavery, and it was, except for I got one date wrong, it was factually correct, but they lost advertisers.
But now there's obviously, as we know, just a mouthpiece for the elites. They got, was it 250 million that they're raised by George Soros adjacent groups and some kind of angel investment drive recently and shit. I mean, they're just like and again, put it in perspective that I've seen these Vice pieces where they deal with, like, you know, these dangerous right-wing terrorists and white supremacists and stuff like that. And they cover it like people just talking is like those are terrorists. And then now they do this puff piece of like these people are great. And they just the Black Lives Matter group is just fighting for justice and stuff. You know, they can do nothing wrong. Right.
Well, I said this with Frody, or maybe I'm so burnt out. I already said it with you. But they talk about all this white. One of the most dangerous things about the left is its conflation of words with violence.
Right. Yeah.
And an actual violence, like 20 guys like kicking a white guy in the head, is protest. And so white words were violence. Now white silence.
That's right.
You can't win if you're talking, or it's like there's okay guys.
Well, can't we just realize, like, if you're white, you're wrong and you're the enemy. That's it. That's all you need to know.
We're white, we're male, and we suck. Yeah, that was an article in Whiteness, the Original Sin.
That's right. That's right.
All right. I'd like to see historical precedents of, like, any other group being brainwashed into thinking that hating themselves is good.
Yeah, the PSYOP, I think we've never, there have been attempts and different things, but never on this scale. It's remarkable. And of course, it's partially, of course, intra-ethnic, predatory, people that are doing this, but it's obviously also a lot of people from outside of our own ethnic group that are doing this and advocating for this. So, anyway, let's watch a little bit more of this here. Again, I actually haven't seen the end of this, so we'll see where it goes, but let's try it out here.
While the world erupted in protest responding to the police killing of George Floyd, Hawk Newsom and his team went to work, building a plan of action. The day before they took over Times Square, Newsom and his sister Shabana, co-founders of Black Lives Matter Greater New York, gathered their team to prepare a list of demands.
Any reservations about tomorrow's rally, protest, revolution?
So I'm just trying to keep anxiety at bay. I just want to get the demands tight, the legislation tight, and the press release out.
We need a different line to call for medical services. In order for me to call EMS, I have to call 911. And the operator is like, what's the emergency? I want to be truthful. I see police officers literally using excessive force and this person might die.
The Newsom siblings were born into an activist family. Now they're building on that legacy. She's running for Congress and he's growing their organization. They're about to introduce a set of proposals focused on reform in New York City.
It's our job as organizers to set forth demands.
Tell me what the demands are.
We want to control our communities. We want to control our schools. We want to control our economics. And we want access. We want equity. I do not believe in equality. We do not fight for equality. Equality is a myth. We plan on creating and advocating for a new existence for black people in this country.
All right, let me pause it. It's kind of interesting. I remember hearing this with Bernie Sanders too. He actually did a interview, whatever you want to call it, with Cardi B, you know, the coronavirus chick, and he was saying something there regarding the policing as well. He said, you know, she was raising this as a concern about all these shootings and stuff and bad white cops and stuff. And so Bernie was like, yeah, you know, I hear that. We basically have to have police an area. They have to look like the people that they are policing, right? And so it's like, oh, you're talking about, like, nationalism? You're talking about people having a nation, an area, a corner, which is theirs, and then they control it. They're at the banks, they're at the police, they're at the hospital, at the schools, at the, you know, all the, like, yeah, but that's what we used to have. And now, but we're going in the complete opposite direction here now, you know?
I see two of these T-shirts, and I'd encourage people to go up and say these things to people wearing these T-shirts if I didn't think they'd get punched in the face or killed. So Black Lives Matter? Prove it. And the other one, especially, I can't breathe? I'd look them right in the eye and say, you're lying.
Yeah, gotta watch it. Gotta have a pack of white dudes with you for that, because you know they'll attack you. I saw something horrific from, I think it was Spring, Texas yesterday. We covered it in the show I did yesterday, and it was like, just in some cases it's just completely random, but in some cases it's like he said one word, or like, don't cut in line or something, and then he exited the store, and it was like five black guys just beat him up, you know. And it's like,
one of the first things I tweeted 10, 12 years ago when I first went on Twitter was 400 years of oppression is no excuse for cutting in line.
good point. Thank you.
Horrible.
Hey, which one was it? There was one more. Oh, actually, this one could be interesting to play quickly, too, and then we'll do the super chats. This one, check this out, too. We kind of haven't talked about chads or anything, but obviously it's all tied in together, everything that's happening now. The defunding of the police, this autonomous zone in Seattle, BLM, and the riots and stuff. Check this out here.
...in the chads. Was it reflective of the leadership of this Lilliputian utopia? The question was answered when we interviewed Jaden Grayson, one of the leaders of this movement.
Every single day that I show up here, I'm not here to peacefully protest. I'm here to disrupt until my demands are met. You cannot rebuild until you break it all the way down. Respond to the demands of the people or prepare to be met with any means necessary. By any means necessary.
Okay, then we'll do the same.
Well, we were kind of forced to at that point, right? When do we... I know that the expectation is that we should just like lay down, roll over, put ourselves on fire, or whatever the demands are, we should just do it, right? But that's not going to last forever. That's not how it's going to be forever. They're making the white kids angry, Jim.
I hope that's, you know, that whole Kipling poem. Like, have we reached the last stanza yet, where the Saxon
begins to hate?
Angry. Yeah.
Well, we're close. And I mean, I don't advocate for this. I never have. But I've always said that this, what they're doing right now, this the multi-ethnic experiment, the multi-religious experiment, the replacement issue, the blatant discrimination, hatred of white people, the violence is going to explode. And we've been trying to talk about this, to warn about these things. But again, we make the wrong mouth noises. We get shut down and blocked and banned everywhere. These people literally get away at subjecting other people to violence, literally calling for the burning down of country, the whole country, and they're fine. They get Vice puff pieces made about them. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
The amount of cognitive dissonance and denial among, again, like I said, I expect black people to act this way. They're not going to become Rhodes Scholars. Let's be real, like they say. The only way they're going to get power is through violence. But
yeah,
I mean,
the ones that
I really hate are the white people who just say, okay, here, take it.
Take everything. Yeah, here you go. But I'm on your side, you know, and it's like, at least I wasn't racist, you know, on the way out, right? Because they don't, you know.
Check this out. Like, I'm not going to name them, but they were on a flight, and it's a couple that has kids, and it seemed like the flight was going to crash. And they're going down thinking they're going to die. And the wife said, I just hope. The kids weren't on the plane. She said, I just hope our kids don't turn out to be racist.
is this true? Is it a true story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's... Yeah, well, I mean... What's that? Okay, conclusion time. Then we'll do the super chats. What I think is happening here is the only group that have been told that they can't have an identity is white people, right? It's bad when we do it. It's great and wonderful when everyone else does it, right?
You can't have a positive identity. You're encouraged to have a negative identity.
That's true. That is true. It's as long as you have solely negative associations and guilt tied to your identity, yeah, that's a good thing. I that's correct. So we can't have a positive identity or pride in heritage or history or what we've achieved collectively or all those things.
Right? Or even the idea that there is a collective there, that it's not Swedes and Irish or no.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Only when it comes punishment time, then
it's – yeah, right. Exactly. But so what I think happens here is essentially a kind of a, well, I guess it's nature ultimately. It's a form of eugenics, although maybe some social Darwinism, but primarily I think it's still nature. It's essentially the people that have enough of an interest, I guess it ultimately boils down to, in preserving themselves and having some kind of association to themselves and to their own group, are the only ones that'll be left standing from out of this. Because either you're talking about people that hate themselves so much that they won't reproduce, or they will have kids that don't look like them and therefore don't associate with them anymore, with that group. But you're also having a hardening, if you will, of a group which is going to be more racially aware than ever. And this is the group that will continue to have kids. They will continue to perpetuate themselves. And yes, we might be down on a very into a position where essentially we are the scapegoat of the world, essentially, at least obviously in the West, as we're slowly becoming minorities in these countries. I think a kind of a South Africa situation is coming for all white people all over, wherever they are in the world, essentially, which is the short term. Well, it's a somewhat long term, but it's kind of medium term, right? But in the long term, I think we're looking at a group of people who probably is going to be more hardline and more dedicated to these kinds of questions that we're not allowed to discuss or kind of associate with, Jim.
Another ancient tweet of mine was, the only good thing about white people who don't breed is that they don't breed.
There you go.
But I've got a friend who's non-white, and he's just disgusted about what's going on. And he's like, and he's not black. He's Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to feel bad. I can't feel bad for them. They are just the biggest fucking assholes on the planet. And he's lamented this for years now. And he's like, he would have voted for Elizabeth Warren, but he's like, they're creating white racists.
They are. I mean, this is
not
the truth.
It's not us.
No.
It's these people.
Yeah.
They're a Nazi factory.
And it was like, and then at some point you're like, all right, well, then that's, so be it then. Right? You know what I mean? It's like, all right, whatever.
I remember, it's totally unrelated, but you know who Nancy Spungen was?
No.
She was killed by Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But her mom did this biography about what a problem child she was. But like, also in part of this narrative, like, the husband kept accusing the mom of cheating. She's like, all right, might as well. It's like, if you're going to call me a Nazi anyway, then they seem pretty aggressive. So,
yep.
All right.
Yep.
You're not going to give me any kind of break. And these people are making it impossible. Again, you've kind of worn out your welcome, pals. I was such a Whigger. I was such. That's the thing. People who are 19. Oh, you. Yeah. I know how you grew up. And it's like, no, I thought exactly like you. And apparently my eyes were much wider open than yours ever will be.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed this shit going on severely in the early 90s. And you're in 2020 and you don't know what's going on.
Exactly. And I mean, it's coming into fruition more clearly than ever. This we can have the last point here, and then we'll take the super chats. But White Strike was trending on Twitter, I think, from yesterday to today, essentially. And my solutions and things like that, I think the society overall, civilization as we know it, is also crumbling before our eyes. I do believe White Strike is good. I think essentially creating kind of Urania type groups or something, like, where people just want to live their life. They want to have their kids. They want to do normal things. They want to get along. They don't want to have all this, conflict and all this kind of stuff. It might not be enough. And I understand all those things. And there might be other things that eventually comes out of that, or there might be positions where essentially we have groups that will turn hostile against the Iranians of this world or whatever. And sure, at that point we have to deal with that. But just for now, as a point of like, what do we want kind of thing? I just don't see this is not going to work itself out. We're not going to continue having the countries that we once had. Doesn't mean we can't have them again, but right now this is just collapsing in front of our eyes. I would love to see people just who are white just, well, fuck it then. Pull out of the system. Don't engage. Don't pay taxes as little as possible. Just don't support this thing that which hates you and wants to replace you. What do you think?
I mean, I want people to take care of themselves. I don't want them to be stupid. And I guess it sounds like cowardice or retreat, but I mean, historically, Jewish people, I guess that's less racist than saying Jews, right? The Jewish people.
You can't say Jews. That's offensive. That's right.
We're not an agricultural, rural people. They were always urban. Blacks in America were originally rural. They were plantation workers, but they're almost exclusively city people now.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the points I made in the Redneck book, and this is not just in America, throughout history, a huge cultural divide has been urban versus rural. If you look at the terms pagan or heathen, pagan comes from the Latin pagus, which means country.
Of the land. Yeah.
Yeah. And heathen means those who lived out beyond the heath, like out in the woods.
Yeah. Yep.
And that might be the fate for the time being, because the cities are gone.
I don't see how the state
destroyed. And it's sad.
Pull out now, folks. Leave.
One of the sad things about the Frank Rizzo statue, because that footage was from 1980. That was 40 years ago. That's the recent ex. Get out of here. I'll break the camera over you, God. I'll fight all of you.
All of you. I'll take care of you.
We didn't get to the part of the tape where he offers to put his dog in and fight them. I thought that was kind of. But that's, every time I go back to Philly, It's violent. It's crass. People have the worst accent. But you just look at it and it's like, wow, this is a great, majestic, old town. All these bricks and buildings and great junk food and great sense. And it's being burned in front of my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I don't think there's much future in the cities. That's about.
I've always hated the, you know, what they've become, obviously. I mean, at some point, yeah, it was great. Sure. But I've never liked the environment, and I just don't care much for it. I think it creates a lot of, like, just the city life seems to create a specific type of mentally deranged individual. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny, too, because I know people, oh, you know, you come out to the country and everyone's in your business and their nose is up your ass. And it's like, I mean, I've got neighbors across the street and I'm nice to them. Hey, how you doing? I don't know their names.
Right, right.
That's as far as it gets.
Yeah.
In the city, like, there's a homeless guy vomiting on you as you're trying to get into your apartment building. You know, they're all in your face. And as a misanthrope, yeah, I'd rather be out in the country. I take a lot of travel pictures. There's never any people in them.
You know? That's great. Yeah.
It's my orientation. I don't like being around people. I've got my beautiful woman here and my dog and cat. That's all I need.
Right.
And my son's, you know, 30-minute drive, and I see him a couple times. That's all I need.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, if there's advice, it's like, get the fuck out of the city.
Absolutely. Yeah. Urania, good communities that support each other, help each other out, have each other's backs, do, you know, good work with your body, get outside. And all this insanity, when you get out in the country, you don't see it. You don't, it's good to be aware, know all of this, and we need to, and that's our, you know, our job here as well, is to inform you guys of the ongoing decline and a kind of a warning that's like, this is going to end up on your doorstep at some point, especially if you are in cities. Prepare, get out, build a network of good people and stuff like that, because this could go really bad. Imagine a police strike on top of this as well. I mean, and the people have talked after Corona-chan, you know, the food shortages, the meat packaging plants, all these things have been shutting down. Imagine the trucks stop coming. One of the latest things, too, by the way, they mentioned was areas where the police are being defunded, these truckers won't go to them. What do you think is going to happen? Like,
truckers. I said this, funny enough. I wrote an article against San Francisco back in the 90s. And I did an album of truck driving songs back then. I like truckers. I got a pickup truck. But I said, imagine, you know, they talk about these Idaho truckers. Imagine if the Idaho truckers just decided to stop delivering food to San Francisco.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, you fucking idiots. But it's safer out here. Again, I'm only 25 miles from CNN.
Right, yeah.
I'm a mile from a lake, too. I'm a block from a lake. And it's very quiet here. Like I said, hey, neighbor, whatever your fucking name is, and that's it. Nobody's in my ass. It's paradise.
Yeah. That's how we used to live in those types of communities for, what, a few thousand years or something, you know what I mean? The city thing is a very, very recent new thing, especially with this population explosion too, you know?
And as a kid, like, if I wanted an import record, I had to go down to Center City, Philadelphia. The internet, you can get the entire world at your fingertips if you're in Siberia.
Yeah.
You know, so and a lot of jobs increasingly, and I guess they learned that through COVID, is like, you can do this shit at home. Like, office space is usually wasted. There's really no good idea. You used to need to go to cities for jobs. None of that's really relevant anymore.
No.
Now you go there to get killed.
look at this chart here. Let me just show you this. And I promise we'll get to the super chats. We're going to start rounding up here in a little bit. But here's the world population since 10,000. Well, they listed at BCE here, but you get the point. We have never seen something like this in terms of the explosion of the population in such recent time. They're talking about adding on billions and billions more here as we move into 2100. This is not going to work, Jim. At some point, this is going to collapse. This is going to, there's going to be a population collapse. Whether that's nature deciding the rules and saying, that's it, we've reached limits, we don't have more resources to support and feed these people or whatever it is. But I think something bad is coming. What do you feel when you see a chart like this?
Well, that's, I mean, you could take that same graph and make it the national debt.
Right, yeah.
Hemingway, he talked about bankruptcy, and he said, you know, it happens gradually, then all of a sudden. And I think everything that's been going wrong in America, we're in the all of a sudden phase. right now. This is a Malthusian concept that, you know, there are some people say, no, you could fit everyone in the world in Texas. Still.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Don't think it's going to happen.
And what kind of life would that be, by the way?
I don't just write. I'm able to do book layout and stuff. And I just laid out a book for American Renaissance about blacks and Africans. And I'm not cheerful. And one of the things, and Steve Saylor did an article about this too. I think there are 1 billion Africans now. By the end of the century, there's going to be 4 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's right. They're not going to find anything but dust in Zimbabwe. It's going to be boats forever. Or unless there's a resistance, I guess. And then they're all speculating. Not encouraging anything, federal agent.
Well, again, what I think is the thing, too, is that if people do not like, you know, cruelty, and I include nature in that, not man, but like at the hand of nature, things are very, it's a cruelness there. And if we do have the rational capability to deal with these problems now, I think that would be the better choice versus waiting until there's no dealing with it anymore. And at that point, we're also talking about something like mass starvations of billions of people because we've just lost our ability to feed ourselves. I generally wouldn't want to see something like that. So my idea is maybe it's better to do something now. What that is and how that be done, that I don't know, right? I don't have all the answers for that. I just know that this is unsustainable, and where we're going, this is not going to work. You know what I mean?
And hopefully, you know, I mean, that was the thing that still blows my mind, because I make a living writing these opinions. And the day after Trump got elected, it's like, oh, cool. It's going to be more job opportunities. I didn't expect it getting the way, there we go, 10 billion, a world's population, but 4 billion of that will be Africans.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all our new neighbors.
It'll be fantastic.
And then, imagine the smell. Anyway.
And then couple that with this, right? We're nearing a global watershed, a time when white people will not be the majority in the developed world, Britain included.
But if we said this was happening, we'd be paranoid.
We're conspiracy theorists.
Anthony Brown is brown. Because I've never heard of a white person even being allowed to say this.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
And this cuts deep to me, too, because my 23andMe, they don't distinguish between English and Irish, which I don't understand that. But I'm 75% that. I'm like 99.8% European, and then all but 2% of that is Northern European. And it's weird. I mean, you think about, you know, do people have a genetic memory? And there are a couple British bands from the 60s, like The Who or The Kinks. It's so British. Something in that speaks to me. And Jesus Christ, what was it 100 years ago? That little shitty rainy island that's the size of the state of Georgia controlled 24% of the land on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the biggest empire in world history, land-wise. And somebody convinced him it would be a good idea to feel bad about
that. Yep, to give it all up.
Yeah.
And look at a much better place that is now, too, right? Things are going swimmingly, aren't they? Yeah, here's another short for you guys there. All right, Jim, do you want to stay for some of the super chats or do you want to jump off? Yeah. All right, we're going to plug some of your stuff here, too. In the new show and good things like that. I appreciate everybody staying with me, with us here, rather, today. It's been a long show, over 2 hours, but it's been a good show. So thank everyone for being here, and Jim as well, of course. Jay Fox, Three Diamonds. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Angry White Soccer Mom donates how about that? A ninjet. Thank you. Angry Soccer Mom. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
What a ninjet? What is that?
A ninjet. It's like the highest donation you can make on DLive. Oh. They have all these cheesy. They have like ninja guineas, they call it, and a ninjet, it's a jet, but it has in the GIF, it has a propeller. So I'm not really sure what's going on. But
the reason I ask is I've studied ninjutsu.
Oh, ninjutsu. Yeah, there's a ninjet. It's like a ninja jet airplane.
And I didn't study it because I wanted to become a ninja. It was just the closest martial arts dojo where I was living. But yeah.
Anyway, she says, to help restock new shirts and merch. Well, thank you. And she says, thank you for being my fam's favorite pressure valve. Well, thank you so much for your support. I appreciate it. And yes, we're going to get some new t-shirts in stock. Right now, we've lowered them all to $10. So go find a size, either lanaslama.com or redice.tv/store, and you can get your hands on the shirts that we do have left. They're only $10 right now, guys.
Can you tell who the cartoonist is on that that banner there?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it last time, and I mean, I recognize the style, right?
That's a Nick Bugis right there.
Ah, okay, yeah, nice. Yeah, I like the covers you have and stuff like that too. All right, let me do these. Well tickled. I guess it is Well Tickled Pickle. Good name. Diamond says, did the taser have any shots left? I think it did. It looked like it in the Atlanta footage. It looked like he fired, and you actually saw it in the footage that it lit up, kind of thing.
So light.
Yeah. So I think it had. Future Street, a Ninja Guinea. Thank you, sir or ma'am. I appreciate that. Says, just obey and do what the cop says, and you will be fine, no matter who you are. Easy. Jim is great. Yeah, I mean, what? There's like a per mil, you know, times that it's happened that you just get a shitty cop that actually do bad things and stuff like that. But in most cases, if you don't, you know, resist arrest and just behave, most of the time you'll be fine, you know?
I forget what the actual stat is, and I could be way off, but cops, it was anywhere from 300, it's got to be more than 300, it's like 30 million encounters a year with citizens.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the hell could handle it any better than 9 unarmed, and that's it out of 30 million? I know I'd be killing more than that.
Euroheroes donates a diamond and says the plan is to bring down the white system. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Desi Mac is here as well. A diamond, thank you. No message. Magnus von Thule, a diamond. No message. Actually, it's a arm gesture which has been banned. An icon for that. Thank you. Turtle No Neck, a diamond. It says some black guy just timed me out in chat. Is that true? Or our mods are good. It shouldn't be happening. Desi Mac with a ninja guinea. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. He says, Jim, you heard the comments about Malcolm X and the want for revolution. Thoughts? He asks you.
Hey. What was I? I'm not sure. What did Malcolm X? I didn't see a Malcolm X quote about revolution here.
Yeah, says Jim. You heard the comments about Malcolm X and the want for revolution. Have you heard the comments about Malcolm X and the want for revolution? And he's asking for your thoughts on that. If you've heard that,
is this a famous quote from Malcolm X? I'm a little confused.
I don't know if maybe it can be more specific. Sorry, but
I'd like to see what I'd actually like to see evidence of anywhere once in world history. Is evidence of a black riot winding up with better conditions for the blacks that live in that neighborhood. I'd like to see evidence of a black country that used to be colonized that wound up with a higher standard of living and a longer life expectancy than when it was colonized. 'Cause these revolutions seem to blow up in their faces. Malcolm X, you know what's interesting to me? I've noticed this too. Malcolm X was a quarter white. He claimed his grandmother was raped by a Klansman, but he was called red. He had red hair and was light-skinned. And I've kind of noticed it's the people of indeterminate identity who are the most fanatical.
Yes, it's true.
They really need, you know, they don't feel it naturally, so they need to, like, speak it or something.
Right.
And he was one of them. Also, I love this story. It's maybe not even relevant, but, you know, there's a name Dan Burrows, B-U-R-R-O-S, spells.
Yeah, I recognize it. Refresh my memory.
He was a member of George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party in the mid-60s. He actually lived in the barracks with Rockwell in Arlington, Virginia, wherever it was. Very vocal, very militant. He had a magazine called Kill with an exclamation point. Kill the Jew. Kill, kill, kill. And then...
Good optics.
Then one night, I think 1965, he was contacted by a reporter for the New York Times. He's like, I'd like to meet you at this deli under the subway in Queens. He got there. He's like, Mr. Burrows, I'm here to inform you tomorrow in the New York Times, I'm going to reveal you were bar mitzvahed. Dan Burrows never saw that headline because he killed himself that night.
No.
So people were not like, he had some identity problems. But that's, I mean, I think the only bigger self-hating Jew would have been if Hitler was actually Jewish, because Dan Burrows really, he went the full mile in self-hatred.
Did you ever see the Believer, the movie?
It's based on the character is called Danny.
Yeah. Oh, that, okay. Well, there you go. That explains it. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think someone said even the Jews makes better Nazis. So they make the best Nazis, someone said. It's funny. Oh, boy. All right, let me continue here. Mark's here, a diamond. Thank you. No message. Silosopher's here as well. A diamond. Thank you. Aria Quinn, I think it is. A diamond. Can you point us to this interview with Frody? Yeah, just go to YouTube and search for Guide to Culture, or just check. Did you repost it, Jim, on your Twitter?
A-U-L-C-H-U-R.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of different spelling. Did you retweet that, by the way?
It's on my Twitter slash.
Yeah. Go to twitter.com/Jim Goad and you'll see it in his timeline right there. Thank you. All right, I can appreciate the RoboThink with a diamond, no message. Elaine Sabatino, also with a diamond, says Westmen are the best. Men, no white guilt. I agree. Thank you. Neo DeLorean with a diamond says just wait until the Tulsa anniversary next year. Oh, is that next year? I saw it brought up already. I think of it, actually, as they were burning the Wendy's, that said something about, I heard that in the background of like the video. Tulsa, you know, the Black Wall Street and stuff. Do you know, we don't have to get into that long spiel here now, but do you actually know if that's all that's true that we hear about that? Have you heard?
That's what I've heard. I haven't dove into it. I'm sure some of it's bullshit.
Some of it must be.
What have we heard 9,000 times the last 2.5 weeks? We built this country. It's really,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that merely by picking cotton, you could build the world's only superpower. I figured that managerial skills and the invention of the cotton gin, the ships, the systems of transport and currency, managing all these systems might have had something more to do with that. Because if that's all it takes, why are there no cotton picking superpowers in Africa?
Yeah, I mean, but the upside is that you don't have to, if you don't know about all those things or how things work, you can just get away with believing anything.
But another thing that totally blows that to pieces is, well, a couple things. If all of the power in America came from black slavery, how the fuck did the North win?
Right, right.
They were an industrial power. This is a backwards agricultural economy down here.
Yeah.
And as let's say that slavery created tremendous wealth in the South. It was all wiped out after the Civil War. You didn't build anything. And somebody put a chart like, yeah, this is relevant. Because there's this idea of like taxpayers and tax consumers. How much do you put into the system and how much do you get back from the system?
Yeah, right.
No idea if this, I just saw this online, could be completely false. I suspect it might be true. Whites, they use government, and I don't know, I'm not sure what these are increments of. They use $4,417 billion or whatever dollars of government, but they put in taxes $4,720 billion. So their actually net effect is, they put more in, 323 plus.
Yeah.
Blacks use 1,158, but only put in 497. They're taking out 660. Asians don't even put it in as much as whites relative. They're putting in 292. Hispanics are taking out 334. Blacks are taking out 660. Tell me again how you're kept down. You don't even fucking contribute. You're a drain. But you can't talk about it. It's fact.
Well, again, that's why maybe it's time for a white strike. How about that?
I can't speak.
That's right. All right, let me continue here. Thank you, though, Neo DeLorean. Appreciate that. Yeah, Tulsa. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to read up on that a little bit, to see if I can get to the truth of the matter. Brad Gremba is donating a Ninja Genie over on DLive. I saw you on DonorBox, too. I'll get to that in a moment. Thank you, Brad. Always good to see you, man. He says here on DLive, Lana was right about the 2020 vision thing in 2020. Yeah, early 2020, she did a video about that. He says, a lot of normies are seeing things clearly now. Yeah, I've seen a lot more people just opening their eyes. They're pushing too hard too fast, and I think that might very well be their downfall, you know?
Yeah. That's, I mean, and again, we're on YouTube right now, too? Or
no, we're off of there. We're not doing anything on there.
Because, okay, you know David Cole is?
Yes, we had him on the show, yeah.
Okay. I asked him, you know, I'm about the Holocaust, because he knows this stuff, and he says 3 or 4 million were killed, but there were no gas chambers, whatever. But I'm like, so why, you know, David, I don't understand this. Like, 60 million people died in that war. Why? He's like, this is the problem. Jews always overplay their hand. He's like, they just get power hungry and don't know when to shut the fuck up. I don't know if that's what's going on, but it seems like, yeah, like you said, maybe pushing it a little too hard too quick, because some people are saying, oh, fuck this. This is not what you told me this was going to be about.
You know, it was like the boiling the frog analogy. If they would have just cooled it a little bit and just kind of stepped, you know, lifted off the gas pedal a little bit, they could have gotten away with essentially replacing white people and destroying our countries. But due to the fact that they're fighting and pushing so fucking hard, sorry for the bad language, folks. But
let's not give them any ideas. They take that as advice. Okay. We'll push it a little less just so we get what we want.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're doing it, don't get me wrong, but it's like they don't know when to stop, right?
But if you're a white person and believe this shit at this point, I've got nothing but contempt for you.
Yeah, I definitely understand that point of view. I try to be more understanding and say, yeah, there's people are brainwashed, they're being hoodwinked, they're being fooled into a lot of this. There's still time for some to awaken, and we should try. It's our job, you know, try to awaken our
complete allergic reaction to facts.
Yeah.
Sympathetic.
All right. Thank you, Brad Grimba. Great to see you, man. And let me do that one over on DonorBox as well. He sends $50 over there. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. DonorBox.org/red-eyes. And he simply says, as he always does, good Brad, says, freedom shekels. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate it. Always good to see you, man. Hope you're doing well. All right. Let me move along here. Max here again, a diamond, no message. Magnus von Thule again with a diamond. It says, hail Jim Goad and Red Eyes TV. God bless you both. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Mary Arian with a diamond. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mr. Bill with a diamond says black-pilled unity is our strength. Same message. Did he do something on that? Maybe the video unity is our strength, maybe. Hey, thank you, Mr. Bill. I appreciate that. Sunshine sucks. A diamond. No message. Mr. Bill again with a diamond says terrorism is just modern art, man. Thank you. John Sachs at 1419 is here. Good to see you, man, as well. It sends a diamond. If you don't commit crime, you don't get shot. BML, I guess BLM I meant to say, but yeah, it's most of the time, 99.9%. That's the case. 76, a diamond. Thank you. No message. Wilhelm von Jugendgasse sends a diamond, and says love you all. Well, thank you. Much love to you as well. Well Tickle Pickle donates another diamond and says, yeah, he fired the laser. The taser, but could he fire again? I'm not sure, actually. The point is the DA didn't even bring that up. It was just like, oh, he fired in the wrong direction, so it's fine kind of thing. The fact that he just stole it and tried to do it, that's grounds alone to, like, you know, decommission, make sure that they are safe and don't put themselves in harm's way, the cops, I mean. Bandit 1, a diamond, no message. Thank you, Mary Arian again with a diamond, says hail. Thank you, Mary Arian again with a diamond. It says, hail Poseidon. Indeed, I don't know if Poseidon dropped by. If he's here, thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Good to see you, Poseidon. Wilhelm von Judengasse again with a diamond. It says, Red Eyes is the best show on the interwebs. Well, thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. And I do believe that is it. Jim, tell us about all your stuff, your new show, Beef. What was it? Beef Squad? Was that what it was called?
Beef Squad on censored.tv. And what do we do with the first? I mean, I'm sure some of the co-hosts who have their own shows probably won't agree with me on a lot of stuff. On the first episode, we reviewed all the other shows. The next episode, we're going to start spreading false rumors about the hosts of all the other shows. I still write for Tacky Mag for the time being. My next book is going to be called Gender Psychosis. It's about 80 articles I've written about trannies and homos and radical women and sad men and everything. The one after that, which might be the Meisterwerk, Race Porn.
Sounds good.
Just about everything I've written on race for the last 10 years.
Titillating title. God, I couldn't deliver that. Cool. Fail, major fail, boomer.
People get off on these. They almost want to see black people being brutalized because their world would come crashing down if it wasn't real. They leap with glee when it happens.
And it's so rare that it becomes, in some cases, international news when it happens. Right? I mean,
almost. There are exceptions. There are cases where white people decide to kill a black person because they're black and say it. They usually happen in places like Mississippi that's going to vote Republican anyway, so they don't make a big deal out of it there. Trayvon thing was in Florida, which is a swing state. You know, a lot of this stuff, I think Minneapolis, Minnesota might have been close. That's something to pay attention to, where they make a huge – Georgia, where this thing happened at the Wendy's. Georgia's like 50% red, 50% blue at this point. Mm-hmm. That big, giant, flying turtle with a flame coming out of her ass, Stacey Abrams, she's a monster with a huge gap tooth and 400 pounds. She came this close to being governor.
Oof. Yeah, and it's going to happen, too, with demographic shifts and changes. Oof. Can you imagine being a white minority in some of these areas, you know?
Atlanta, yeah, this is going to be like Detroit times 10.
Yeah. Get out now, folks. Get out. So a couple of more come in here. I want to ask you about your books here as well. Daredevil's Advocate sends it down and says, thanks for the show. We'll watch later. No problem. Of course, it's always archived on redice.tv or the members' website, redicemembers.com. Great way of supporting us as well. Check it out. A lot of exclusive stuff just for members there. Otherwise, it goes up on BitChute, Library. It's up on Twitter, live stream there. Replay on DLive, so you can catch it anywhere but the disgusting platform known as YouTube. Well, Tickle Pickle, a diamond. The African definitely behaved poorly. He says there is Quebec 01, a diamond, no message. Another diamond from White Healing, Promethean Hales. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you for the diamond. Tell us about the books you have out, the ones I'm showing on screen here.
Oh, good Lord. Bomb Inside My Brain. Many people who bought that said it's the best thing I've ever written. It's all personal essays, nothing political in there. Best thing I've ever written is the first chapter in there. It's about my brother who got murdered. Whiteness, the Original Sin. I think that's self-explanatory. That's 50 essays all about stigmatization of whites. New Church Ladies. I think I did a whole episode with you about that one.
That's fantastic.
Fanatical religious thinking. Redneck Manifesto was the first book I published back in 96. I started wondering why it was okay to make fun of poor whites and found out a lot when I started investigating, like how many of them were actually slaves, and started theorizing, okay, well, maybe something else is going on here, and this is a divide and conquer scheme, and maybe it has something to do with white elites leaving poor whites holding the bag for all the shit that the white elites did. Gigantic Book of Sex and Trucker Fags they're both actually from my time as an editor at a porn mag in Portland. I'm very nice. Fond of it. I think Gigantic Book of Sex is one of the best things I've ever done. It's fun. People don't buy it because it's all color and glossy and $25. Shit Magnets, a book I wrote in prison that was about just the concept of guilt and scapegoating and using my life as an example as how people use these things. And like I said, guilt as a political weapon, at least as powerful as bullets.
Right.
And people use guilt to stigmatize and cripple other people.
Yes.
If they can get them, you know, if you can get the impression in the public that someone's a bad person, they'll justify doing the worst possible things to them and won't see it as bad.
Yeah.
Humans can play that trick. Whatever it means about me neurologically, I can't do that. I understand when I'm kicking someone in the head, even if it feels good, I understand. Yeah, I'm harming them. Yeah, here we go. And there's the only chart you need.
Yeah,
black
that's
on
right.
Black murders versus cop on black murders.
Of course, make sure, guys, you follow Jim Goad on Twitter as well, twitter.com/Jim Goad. The website, jimgoad.net, that's where you find the books and stuff like that. And how often are the shows on censor.tv? One a week, or when are you doing?
We had the first one on Sunday. We're going to be doing it every Sunday, probably more per week in the future, and including, like, taking calls and chats.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jim. Really appreciate it. Always good to see you, man. Keep up the good work, and we'll have you back soon again, okay?
All right. Best to y'all.
Yeah. Take care, man. See you later. Bye. Thank you. All right. There we go, guys. We're going to wrap up here. Let me open the Fed box, as they call it on DLive, right? The box. What's in the box? Lemons coming up, ladies and gentlemen. So check that out. Heads up. We distribute awards, and I'll hang along for as long as we see who's winning the top five chart over there on DLive. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, obviously we're going to be back tomorrow. Flashback Friday. Can you believe it? It's Friday already, once again. Holy smokes. I had a new video by Lana that I'm actually going to try to finalize tonight. I'll do the best I can. But yeah, we have a lot of good stuff coming up, guys, so definitely make sure that you follow us on all the social media. Our Telegram is a great way of getting notifications and stuff like that when we go live. So t.me/RedIceTV. Definitely make sure you sub over there. You can get the app for your phone as well. We always send out a message when we go live and new videos and stuff like that is up, redice.tv, and as I said, redicemembers.com. All right, over on DLive, we have Beavis and Butthurt, number one. Luckiest followers here, we're talking about Dixon Uranus, number two. Magnus von Thule, number three. Mr. Noseberg, good to see you, Mr. Noseberg. Always a great mod over on DLive. and Nick, is number four, and Nick Diaz is number five. All right, boys and girls, I think that's it. Check out in case you didn't see it, in case you missed No Go Zone yesterday. Let me pull this up here. In case you missed No Go Zone yesterday, or didn't see it all, we have a new video up exclusive for members. Do white liberals... Okay, I gotta log in again there. But do white liberals uphold white supremacy? It's a video right here at the top. Check that out, exclusive. And then on redice.tv, we put up the new one that was up for member on the member site for a couple of, was about a week and a half, something like that, regarding if white countries were majority white, would they be perfect countries? All that's new and good stuff you can watch on redice.tv. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Let me make sure I have the right stuff in order here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Classback Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Central European time. Take care. Stay brave. Protect each other. Take care. Put differences to the side, and we'll get through this. See you later.